Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit expressvpn.com/Ben. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 yesterday that Joe Biden's vaccine mandate via OSHA was wildly unconstitutional because, as it turns out, it is wildly unconstitutional. It is a violation of the separation of powers. It is a violation of the Enabling Act of the original body itself, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And it was being used as a cudgel by the executive branch of the government to simply end around the constitutional process of working through a legislature. See, here in the United States, there's this thing called the Constitution. The Constitution mandates that if you're going to effectuate a major policy, you need to go through this thing called the legislature. The legislature is, in its turn, comprised of two separate bodies, the House of Representatives, which is apportioned according to population, and the Senate of the United States, in which each state gets two senators. I know this is really basic stuff, but apparently people on the left need to hear this. The New Republic today, I'm not even kidding you. They tweeted out today, the New Republic, which is supposed to be a sophisticated liberal magazine, quote, "The real Supreme Court ruling appears to be this. The Biden administration can only try new solutions to new problems if it runs them through a gerrymandered House and a filibuster-friendly Senate first." Oh, you mean you can only do things that you don't have the authority to do if you are given that authority by the Congress of the United States? Who could have suspected such a thing except for everyone who has ever read the Constitution of the United States? It's just unbelievable. Okay, so the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of getting rid of Joe Biden's vax mandate. And the language was pretty strong here. We're going to go through it. And as we do, I want you to remember that there were three justices on the other side, Breyer, Kagan, Sotomayor. And those three justices on the other side rule that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, with no actual statutory authority, could force 100 million Americans to vaccinate because they had jobs. That is what the left of the court said. That an obscure agency that generally you have no interface with, that obscure agency granted power by an act in the 70s, suddenly had the authority to decide whether you had to vaccinate, whether or not you had natural immunity or religious objection or some sort of existing condition that prevented you from getting the vaccine safely, that you had to vaccinate or lose your job. Three justices on the Supreme Court said that that was totally fine. And if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016, that would have been 5 or 6 justices on the Supreme Court of the United States. Because remember, President Trump got 3 picks. All 3 voted the right way in this particular case. All right, so here's what the court ruled yesterday. The Secretary of Labor, acting through the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, recently enacted a vaccine mandate for much of the nation's workforce. The mandate, which employers must enforce, applies to roughly 84 million workers, covering virtually all employers with at least 100 employees. It requires that government workers receive a COVID-19 vaccine. It preempts contrary state laws. The only exception is for workers who obtain a medical test each week at their own expense and on their own time, and also wear a mask each workday. OSHA has never before imposed such a mandate, nor has Congress. Indeed, although Congress has enacted significant legislation addressing the COVID-19 pandemic, it has declined to enact any measure similar to what OSHA has promulgated here. Many states' businesses and nonprofit organizations challenged OSHA's rule in courts of appeals across the country. The Fifth Circuit initially entered a stay, but when the cases were consolidated before the Sixth Circuit, that court lifted the stay and allowed OSHA's rule to take effect. Applicants now seek emergency relief from this court, arguing OSHA's mandate exceeds its statutory authority and is otherwise unlawful, agreeing that applicants are likely to prevail. We grant their applications and stay the rule. Remember, this is a preliminary injunction because the rule didn't even go into effect. So the Supreme Court then goes through the history of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, which was created in 1970. The act created OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which is part of the Department of Labor and under the supervision of its secretary. As its name suggests, OSHA is tasked with ensuring occupational safety, that is, safe and healthful working conditions. It does so by enforcing occupational safety and health standards promulgated by the secretary. Such standards must be reasonably necessary or appropriate to provide safe or healthful employment. It must also be developed using a rigorous process that includes notice, comment, and an opportunity for a public hearing. However, there's an exception. You're allowed to also promulgate emergency temporary standards. Such standards may take immediate effect upon publication in the Federal Register. This is only permissible in extremely narrow circumstances. It's only been used 9 times before this emergency authority. 6 of those times it was challenged in court. Only one of those was upheld in full. Okay, so the Supreme Court goes through the process by which the Biden administration created this OSHA rule. And the Supreme Court then points out that applicants are likely to succeed on the merits of their claim that the secretary lacked authority to impose the mandate. Administrative agencies are creatures of statute. They accordingly possess only the authority Congress has provided, right? Congress says that OSHA can do X, OSHA cannot do X, Y, and Z. OSHA can only do X. And if OSHA proclaims that Z is part of X, OSHA has exceeded its mandate under its enabling act. The secretary has ordered 84 million Americans to either obtain a COVID-19 vaccine or undergo weekly medical testing at their own expense. This is no everyday exercise of federal power. It is instead a significant encroachment into the lives and health of a vast number of employees. This is the Supreme Court. We expect Congress to speak clearly when authorizing an agency to exercise powers of vast economic and political significance. There can be little doubt that OSHA's mandate qualifies as an exercise of such authority. The question, then, is whether the act plainly authorizes the secretary's mandate. It does not. The act empowers the secretary to set workplace safety standards, not broad public health measures. No provision of the act addresses public health more generally, which falls outside of OSHA's sphere of expertise. So in other words, it is true that COVID-19 is a threat inside the workplace. It is also a threat outside the workplace and everywhere else that human beings congregate. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high, again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
And as the Supreme Court is about to say, just because you have a job doesn't mean that the court can now do that, that OSHA can now do whatever it wants to you. So, for example, OSHA could not promulgate a rule saying that obesity is a serious problem at the workplace because there are people at the workplace and obesity is a problem. Therefore, it is a serious workplace problem. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat fatty foods at your workplace via OSHA, via OSHA regulation. There's nothing that would allow that sort of thing. The dissent protests we are imposing a limit found no place in the governing statute. Not so, says the Supreme Court. It is the text of the agency's organic act that repeatedly makes clear that OSHA is charged with regulating occupational hazards and the safety and health of employees. The Solicitor General does not dispute that OSHA is limited to regulating work-related dangers. She instead argues the risk of contracting COVID-19 qualifies as such a danger. We cannot agree. Although COVID-19 is a risk that occurs in many workplaces, it is not an occupational hazard in most. COVID-19 can and does spread at home, in schools, during sporting events, everywhere else people gather. That kind of universal risk is no different from the day-to-day dangers that all face, from crime, air pollution, or any number of communicable diseases. Permitting OSHA to regulate the hazards of daily life simply because most Americans have jobs and face those same risks while on the clock would significantly expand OSHA's regulatory authority without clear congressional authorization. The dissent, says the Supreme Court, contends that OSHA's mandate is comparable to a fire or sanitation regulation imposed by the agency. But a vaccine mandate is strikingly unlike the workplace regulations that OSHA has typically imposed. A vaccination, after all, cannot be undone at the end of the workday. Contrary to the dissent's contention, imposing a vaccine mandate on 84 million Americans in response to a worldwide pandemic is simply not part of what the agency was built for. That is not to say OSHA lacks authority to regulate occupation-specific risks related to COVID-19. Where the virus poses a special danger because of the particular features of an employee's job or workplace, targeted regulations are plainly permissible. We don't doubt, for example, that OSHA could regulate researchers who work with COVID-19. OSHA could regulate risks associated with working in particularly crowded or cramped environments, but the danger present in such workplaces differs in both degree and kind from the everyday risk of contracting COVID-19 that all face. And then they point out that the Senate of the United States actually voted against greenlighting exactly this procedure. There was a procedural vote that was brought up before the Senate, and the Senate symbolically said, we don't like this regulation, which is a pretty good indicator Congress does not mean to grant this sort of authority to OSHA. The Supreme Court says the equities do not justify withholding interim relief. We're told by the states and the employers that OSHA's mandate will force them to incur billions of dollars in unrecoverable compliance costs and will cause hundreds of thousands of employees to leave their jobs. For its part, the federal government says the mandate will save over 6,500 lives and prevent hundreds of thousands of hospitalization. The Supreme Court says it is not our role to weigh such trade-offs. In our system of government, that is the responsibility of those chosen by the people through the democratic process. Although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly. Requiring the vaccination of 84 million Americans simply because they have jobs certainly falls in the latter category. Okay, so that is the majority Supreme Court opinion, 6-3. Then there is also the concurrence. And the concurrence goes further. This is from Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito. We'll get to that in just 1 second, because it makes some pretty important points about the legislative branch and why we still need a legislative branch in the United States. This really was a clash of massive ideas as to the future of the country. If this had gone the other way, it would essentially spell the end, truly, of anything remotely like the constitutional structure in the United States. Essentially, we'd be living under full administrative fiat at the behest of the wild left, greenlit by justices on the Supreme Court if this had gone the other way. We'll get to that in just 1 moment. First, I really don't need to tell you why you need to lose weight. Pretty much everybody in our society right now kind of needs to lose weight. The average American is significantly overweight, and that causes all sorts of complicating health conditions. But losing weight, it's not easy, and it's not really your fault, because successful weight loss requires both a shift in diet and a positive and determined mindset. You need help from the outside. You need SOTA, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. It works. The SOTA nationwide weight loss program is 100% over the phone. No more fighting traffic, no more excuses. You'll have a nutritionist. SOTA's sincerely kind, compassionate, caring nutritionist will not hesitate to offer up some tough love, tears of joy, high fives. They'll be right there with you. You want to run through a wall for them, because they won't let you fail. It's not a workout plan, because the root cause of weight gain and obesity is really about addiction recovery. It's what you eat, fixing your habits. You'll get an easy-to-follow plan, an optional supply of food at no extra cost, and support from a nutritionist who cares. For exercise, if you are physically able, 30-minute walks every day, 7 days a week, that's it. We have coworkers who are raving about SOTA. Read the over 5,200 client Google business reviews and study the over 700 stunning client before and after photos. S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. SOTA weight loss is, say it with me now, state of the art. Alrighty, coming up, the concurrence in this case from Justices Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito is really telling, because it really spells the direction the Supreme Court needs to go. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's not just that the majority opinion in the Biden vax mandate case is correct. The concurrence goes even further, and it really underscores the major issue at stake in the country. On to the concurrence in this case. This is Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito. They say the central question we face today is who decides. No one doubts that the COVID-19 pandemic has posed challenges for every American, or that our state, local, and national governments all have roles to play in combating the disease. The only question is whether an administrative agency in Washington, one charged with overseeing workplace safety, may mandate the vaccination or regular testing of 84 million people, or whether, as 27 states before us submit, that work belongs to state and local governments across the country and the people's elected representatives in Congress. This court is not a public health authority, but it is charged with resolving disputes about which authorities possess the power to make the laws that govern us under the Constitution and the laws of the land. And essentially what they say is state and local governments have extraordinary plenary authority when it comes to regulation of health. This is not true of the federal government. The federal government's powers are not general but limited and divided, say the three concurring justices. Not only must the federal government properly invoke a constitutionally enumerated source of authority to regulate in this area or any other, it must also act consistently with the Constitution's separation of powers. And when it comes to that obligation, this court has established at least one firm rule. We expect Congress to speak clearly if it wishes to assign to an executive agency decisions of vast economic and political significance. We sometimes call this the major questions doctrine. OSHA's mandate fails that doctrine's test. The agency claims the power to force 84 million Americans to receive a vaccine or undergo regular testing by any measure. That is a claim of power to resolve a question of vast national significance. Yet Congress has nowhere clearly assigned so much power to OSHA. Approximately 2 years have passed since the pandemic began. Vaccines have been available for more than a year. Over that span, Congress has adopted several major pieces of legislation aimed at combating COVID-19. It seems, too, that the agency pursued its regulatory initiative only as a legislative workaround. Okay, what's hilarious about that particular note right there, which is that OSHA created this because they couldn't get it done in the legislature, is that Ron Klain literally tweeted that. Joe Biden's chief of staff tweeted that, and then that tweet was cited as evidence by the concurrence in this case, saying, you guys can't do that. It violates the constitutional structure. So well done, Biden administration. I mean, just admitted what you were doing, and the court caught you. What is OSHA's reply? It directs us to 29 U.S.C., U.S. Code, Section 655C1. In that statutory subsection, says the concurrence, Congress authorized OSHA to issue emergency regulations upon determining that employees are exposed to grave danger from exposure to substances or agents determined to be toxic or physically harmful, and that such emergency standards are necessary to protect employees from such danger. According to the agency, this provision supplies with almost unlimited discretion to mandate new nationwide rules in response to the pandemic, so long as those rules are reasonably related to workplace safety. The court rightly applies the major questions doctrine and concludes that this lone statutory subsection does not clearly authorize OSHA's mandate. That section was not adopted in response to the pandemic, but 50 years ago at the time of OSHA's creation. Since then, OSHA has relied on it to issue only comparatively modest rules addressing dangers uniquely prevalent inside the workplace, like asbestos and rare chemicals. As the agency itself explained to the federal court less than 2 years ago, the statute does not authorize OSHA to issue sweeping health standards that affect workers' lives outside the workplace. But that is exactly what they are trying to do right now. The concurrence continues. They say, why does the major questions doctrine matter? It ensures the national government's power to make the laws that govern us remains where Article 1 of the Constitution says it belongs, with the people's elected representatives. If administrative agencies seek to regulate the daily lives and liberties of millions of Americans, the doctrine says they must at least be able to trace that power to a clear grant of authority from Congress. And then the court continues, say, in this respect, the major questions doctrine is closely related to what is sometimes called the non-delegation doctrine. Indeed, for decades, courts have cited the non-delegation doctrine as a reason to apply the major questions doctrine. Essentially, the non-delegation doctrine says the legislative branch of the government cannot pass a law saying to the executive branch, do whatever you want. Right? That is a delegation of powers it cannot delegate. And so the way you can tell if the non-delegation doctrine has been violated is if there are major questions that have been left wildly open to the interpretation of executive branch agencies. Say the concurrences. The non-delegation doctrine ensures democratic accountability by preventing Congress from intentionally delegating its legislative powers to unelected officials. Sometimes lawmakers may be tempted to delegate power to agencies to reduce the degree to which they will be held accountable. If Congress could hand off all legislative powers to unelected agency officials, it would dash the whole scheme of our Constitution. The major questions doctrine serves a similar function by guarding against unintentional, oblique, or otherwise unlikely delegations of the legislative power. Sometimes there's ambiguity and agencies take advantage, for example. Whichever the doctrine, the point is the same. Both serve to prevent government by bureaucracy supplanting government by the people. And both hold their lessons for today's case. This is the concurrence. On the one hand, OSHA claims the power to issue a nationwide mandate on a major question, but can't trace its authority to do so to any clear congressional mandate. On the other hand, if the statutory subsection the agency cites really did endow OSHA with that power, that law would likely constitute an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority. Under OSHA's reading, the law would afford it almost unlimited discretion. And this is the key point. Okay, this is the key point that the concurrence is making. The legislature still exists, and because the legislature still exists and ought to exist, OSHA does not have this authority. If Congress wants to pass a law like this, it actually has to make the case that it's going to pass the law like this. Okay, so in a second, we will get to the dissent, because to me, the dissents in this case are spine-chilling. They really are. They should chill your blood. And first, Jen Psaki came out yesterday, posted the decision from the White House. She says, don't worry, Joe Biden is still going to encourage businesses to implement the vax mandate. Here's the thing. If a business chooses to implement that vax mandate, that is now on the business. That business no longer gets to blame Joe Biden or the federal government. This also gives the lie to a lot of businesses that were saying, we're going to preemptively do this under the assumption that it was going to be greenlit by the Supreme Court. Now, you didn't have to. You guys didn't have to. You could have stood up for your employees. And here's Jen Psaki saying they're going to encourage businesses to continue this anyway.
The Supreme Court's decision on the OSHA mandate essentially means that in this pandemic, it is up to individual employers to determine whether their workplaces will be safe for employees and whether their businesses will be safe for consumers. So President Biden, you'll see this in his statement, will be calling on and will continue to call on businesses to immediately join those who have already stepped up, including one-third of Fortune 100 companies, to institute vaccination requirements to protect their workers, customers, and communities.
Okay, so they can encourage as much as they want, but that's not what they were attempting to do. They were attempting to destroy businesses that refused to comply. They were literally threatening businesses with $14,000 fines for every unintentional violation and $140,000 fines for every intentional violation. They would have bankrupted our company inside of a week. That was their goal. That was their explicit goal here. And it wasn't to shut down the virus, because they can't do that, not with Omicron. It was to control. That's all they care about. And it comes from a deep-seated view of the world that is perverse and un-American. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the dissent in this case, because that's what's at stake in the United States. What the dissent has to say is that the administrative state should be able to tyrannize you however it damn well pleases. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the dissent in the Biden-backed mandate case is really telling. It basically says that if it were up to the left, the administrative state would be able to run your life however it damn well pleased. The mentality of the dissent is really worth noting here, because we were this close in 2016, this close to complete administrative tyranny in this country. The dissent in this case does not attempt to make a constitutional argument. They don't attempt to look at the major questions doctrine or non-delegation doctrine. They simply say that if there is a vaguely worded statute and is tossed over to administrative agencies, those administrative agencies should be able to control every aspect of your life without any interference from the courts. You should not be able to sue because those people are best placed to actually determine the course of your, they're the experts. If we could just toss all governance in the United States to the experts at the administrative agencies, and then the Supreme Court could say, listen, we're not experts, it's up to those experts. Well, what you would have is administrative tyranny. And if not for the justices appointed by President Trump, that would be the way the government is done from here on out in the United States. In some areas, it's already pretty close to that. But it would have been full-scale administrative tyranny top-down. You elect your administrative tyrant once every 4 years. A left-wing court strikes down the excesses of right-wing presidents and greenlights all of the excesses of left-wing presidents. And the legislature would become what it has been for quite a while, a vestigial organ of American government. This is what the left wants. Because all you have to do is cite an emergency. And the left is fond of it. They love emergencies. Emergencies happen all the time. Climate change is an emergency. Racism is an emergency. Poverty is an emergency. COVID-19 is an emergency. Now, I'm not saying COVID-19 wasn't an emergency at the beginning. It was. But it's not an emergency now. It is not. Okay, but they are going to maintain forever that emergencies are the way things are done. That's what's at stake in this country. Two very different views of what government is supposed to do. It's amazing. So yesterday, I tweeted out that the Daily Wire, and again, we are very proud of standing up on behalf of our employees, and I can tell you that they are very happy to be working here today. They signed up for a reason to work here. We're very proud we stood up for our employees. We refused to comply day one. We sued. We brought this to court. We spent our own money to do it. We urge you to subscribe and join us in the mission, because we are, in fact, we're an LLC, which means we are a for-profit company, but we are a missional company attempting to get things done. And so I say that I was proud we stood up for our employees. And some guy named Sam Cedar, who's, I guess, a left-wing pundit, he says, stood up for employees should be read as, quote, defended the right of employers to force its workers back to work without even the protection of knowing that those around them tested negative for a deadly virus. But here is the thing. Number one, we never suggested that our workers could not wear masks. Anybody who wants to wear a mask here at the Daily Wire is perfectly welcome to do so. You can wear an N95 as much as you damn well please. You can wear whatever you want. We don't care. What we said is that we are not going to force people to take a vaccine against their will in order to retain their job. But according to Sam Cedar, this makes us discriminatory and bad. By the way, I love how Sam Cedar suggests here that what we are trying to do is defending our right to force our workers back to work without the protection of knowing that those around them were tested. He doesn't know my employees. He doesn't know any of them. I know all of them. And let me tell you something. Our employees were crying in the office in Nashville yesterday because they literally thought that they were on the verge of losing their job at the behest of Joe Biden. I know how many of my employees wanted to get the vax. I know how many of my employees have natural immunity. Sam Cedar doesn't know the name of one of my employees. I could not tell you how tired I am of hearing people on the left claim that they care more about the people whose salaries I pay and whose livelihoods I insure than I do. I'm tired as hell of this nonsense. It's garbage. In the same way, the left suggests that they ought to control your children's education. You got Terry McAuliffe out there in Virginia claiming you should have no say in your child's education. You don't know the name of my child. You don't know a damn thing about my kid. I care much more about my kid than you do. You pretending that you're an expert on how I should raise my kid is insane. And you pretending that you're an expert on my relationship with my employees, who, again, their bills are paid because they work here and choose to work here because it's a free country. You're out of your mind. You're the great defender of my employees. Why don't you take a poll of my employees on that? I mean, really. Or you don't bother. You just get to speak for them because you are so wise. You're the expert. Just like the administrative agencies, you guys are the experts, and the experts should rule on behalf of all of us. Free choice to just be flushed down the toilet. And you should rule mostly because you're so empathetic, you care so much. Now, you don't have to know any of the people that you're ruling. You don't have to know what they feel, what they think. You don't have to know their health status. You don't have to know what they would choose because their choice is irrelevant. Only your choice is relevant because you are the experts. You are the people who know the most. And that's why even their choices on how to vote for a legislature are completely irrelevant. That should not matter. The legislature should be completely thrown out. The legislature should not matter anymore. It should be a bunch of unelected experts, people like Sam Cedar, deciding for everyone how life is to be led. It should be the people who have been versed in environmental studies at UCLA deciding for everyone in the United States who works a job whether or not they need to get a vaccine, whether or not they have natural immunity. Via OSHA. a statute passed in 1970. This is what the left truly thinks. And we were this close to that being the reality in the United States. This close, like hair's breadth close. And this is why the fight matters. And by the way, anybody who suggests that the dissent in the OSHA case, for example, is really about the law, yeah, it isn't. Because they would have just found some other excuse for why an administrative agency could do whatever it wants. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about something super duper awkward. So, erectile dysfunction, not anything anybody wants to talk about or even think about, but if you have erectile dysfunction, you need to get it solved. And here's the thing. You can do this quickly and discreetly and inexpensively with Get Roman. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. You can speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction. Get up to $15 off your first month of treatment. ED is more common than most people think. In fact, 52% of men between the ages of 40 and 70 will experience some form of ED. Roman Ready is confidence personified. It's that self-assurance that comes from knowing that everything works the way it is supposed to. Roman system is completely confidential, totally discreet, no logos or labels on the packages with Roman. You get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process, straightforward, convenient, and discreet. Getting started, super simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben. Complete an online visit today. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben today. If you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control. Roman Ready. Here's the thing about the left. They don't care whether it's OSHA. They don't care whether it's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They don't care whether it's Health and Human Services or the Department of Education. They don't care whether it's the Secretary of Labor or the Secretary of the Interior. They don't care. All that matters is that unelected bureaucrats get to do the things they want, because for them, it's all power all the time. It's just a power game. It is about their control over you. Why? Well, because it's an emergency and the experts know what's best. They know what, sure, they've blown it every step of the way, but they know what's best. Here is the dissent from Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Quote, every day, COVID-19 poses grave dangers to the citizens of this country, and particularly to its workers. The disease has by now killed almost 1 million Americans and hospitalized almost 4 million. It spreads by person-to-person contact in confined indoor spaces, so causes harm in nearly all workplace environments. And in those environments, more than any others, individuals have little control and therefore little capacity to manage risk. Really, more than any others? Well, why more than any others? It seems like you don't have the capacity to manage or control risk around you in nearly any area of life. COVID-19 is, in short, a menace in work settings. The proof is all around us. Since the disease's onset, most Americans have seen their workplaces transformed. Well, actually, we've seen most places in American life transformed, not just the workplaces. But, says the dissent, the administrative agency charged with ensuring health and safety in workplaces did what Congress commanded it to do. It took action to address COVID-19's continuing threat in those spaces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, the basic idea is that OSHA has the authority because we think OSHA should have the authority. My favorite part of this opinion is where they say, even if we thought that they didn't have the authority, we should let them do it. Quote, even if the merits were a close question, the court would badly err by issuing this stay. That is because a court may not issue a stay unless the balance of harms and the public interest support the action. Here they do not. The lives and healths of the nation's workers are at stake, and the majority deprives the government of a measure it needs to keep them safe. And so, in other words, we don't care about the constitutional provisions. We don't care about the legislature. It's an emergency. We think the government should have the power to do it, so the government has the power to do it. Period. End of story. It's amazing. They say this agency's standard is informed by a half century of experience and expertise in handling workplace health and safety issues. The standard has the virtue of political accountability because OSHA is responsible to the president and the president is responsible to the American people. That's an amazing statement. OSHA is suddenly accountable to the American people? By what metric? Seriously, by what metric? We can't fire any of those people. All those people are unelected and unfireable by the American people. They're answerable to the president. So therefore, that's a democratic institution. That's a new one. That's really a new one. The administrative agencies are now democratic, answerable institutions because the president is elected. How about the legislature? They're elected more frequently. There's higher turnover. But the way that the left sees it, no. It's between the administrative agencies and the court. Its members are elected by and accountable to no one. It's amazing. Nowhere in the dissenting opinion do they actually take stock of the fact that Congress is supposed to be the deciding body here. They say, who decides how much protection and of what kind American workers need from COVID-19? An agency with expertise, acting as Congress and the president authorized, or a court? Well, how about Congress? How about Congress? You know, the elected body. How about that one? Okay, and here's the thing. When I say that this has nothing to do with the OSHA mandate, That's because it has nothing to do with the OSHA mandate. And the reason that I say that is because if you take a look at the same group of three justices voted in favor of upholding the eviction moratorium from the CDC. You remember, the CDC put forward an eviction moratorium under President Trump that suggested that you were not allowed to evict people from their houses for a particular period of time during the original wave. It was unconstitutional at the time, by the way. Okay, under Trump, it was unconstitutional. Forget about who's president. Administrative agencies were not given this sort of insane power to issue an eviction moratorium. By the way, it was an insane policy to begin with, given the fact that we were blowing money into people's pockets at the rate of $7 trillion in 2020. So you had to pay all your other bills, but not your rent. Anyway, the Supreme Court had struck that down, right? They said you can't do that. But there were three justices who were in favor of upholding that, saying the CDC could actually force all evictions in the United States to stop. Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan wrote in that case, quote, the CDC has issued an order that, in light of the rise of COVID-19 Delta variant, temporarily prohibits certain evictions in high transmission counties through October 3rd. Today, this court, without full briefing or argument, blocks that order. I think the court is wrong to do so, and I dissent. They say that the CDC does not lack the power to issue its modified moratorium order. Probably they have that power. They say that the statute's sentence grants the CDC authority to design measures that are, in the agency's judgment, essential to contain disease outbreaks. So, again, that is so crazy that you get the CDC, in order to prevent disease outbreaks, gets to prevent all evictions in the United States. All of them? Yeah, but this is the whole point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't like evictions. Therefore, evictions are bad. And because evictions are bad, the government gets to do it. And if Congress doesn't authorize administrative agencies to do it, that doesn't matter either, because those administrative agencies are super giant experts. And the experts get to do whatever they want, so long as the experts on the Supreme Court greenlight it. That is the view of the left wing of this court. And we were this close to that left wing not being a minority, but being a majority on this court. That's how close we were. Remember, that's the battle, because that is the battle for the future in this country. The battle is going to be whether there is any answerability at all at the federal level. We held the federal government accountable because the Supreme Court was staffed by six Republican appointees. It is that simple. But there would be no way to hold the federal government accountable for this kind of tyranny if that court had ruled the other way. Keep that in mind, because the battle for the future is about that issue. Who gets to decide? You and your local government, your state government, or federal government officials who are not even elected. I mean, you know how many layers of unconstitutionality you have to breach in order to get to this idea in the first place? First, you have to assume that Congress has the power to do this. Congress does not have the power to do this. Nowhere does Congress have the enumerated power under the Constitution of the United States to force hundreds of millions of Americans to vaccinate. That is not in the enumerated powers of the Constitution of the United States in Article 1. It is not. Then you have to say, okay, well, even if Congress can't do that, maybe they can do it. But Congress doesn't even have to pass a law saying they can do it. They can just say OSHA can do whatever it wants. So then you have to assume that Congress is allowed to delegate enormous amounts of power it does not possess to the administrative agencies. And then those administrative agencies can use power that they don't possess, which they've received from Congress, which doesn't possess those powers, to do whatever the hell it wants. And yet this is exactly the way the left in this country would love for this country to run. When you talk about the corruption of democracy and the destruction of small R republicanism, when you talk about the destruction of the Constitution and the destruction of federalism, this is the true threat. That's a real authoritarian threat. We fought it back here at Daily Wire yesterday, but that battle is ongoing. Please join us at dailywire.com/subscribe and help us out in fighting that battle. In 1 second, we'll get to the other case that the Supreme Court ruled on yesterday. It went the wrong way on this one. This is with regard to medical workers and the attachment of Medicare and Medicaid dollars to vaccine mandates. We'll get to that in just 1 second first. I really don't need to tell you why you need to lose weight. Pretty much everybody in our society right now kind of needs to lose weight. The average American is significantly overweight, and that causes all sorts of complicating health conditions. But losing weight, it's not easy, and it's not really your fault, because successful weight loss requires both a shift in diet and a positive and determined mindset. You need help from the outside. You need SOTA, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. It works. The SOTA nationwide weight loss program is 100% over the phone. No more fighting traffic, no more excuses. You'll have a nutritionist. SOTA's sincerely kind, compassionate, caring nutritionist will not hesitate to offer up some tough love, tears of joy, high fives. They'll be right there with you. You want to run through a wall for them, because they won't let you fail. It's not a workout plan, because the root cause of weight gain and obesity is really about addiction recovery. It's what you eat, fixing your habits. You'll get an easy-to-follow plan, an optional supply of food at no extra cost, and support from a nutritionist who cares. For exercise, if you are physically able, 30-minute walks every day, 7 days a week, that's it. We have coworkers who are raving about SOTA. Read the over 5,200 client Google business reviews and study the over 700 stunning client before and after photos. SOTAweightloss.com. SOTA weight loss is, say it with me now, state of the art. Alrighty, coming up, there was another Supreme Court decision yesterday. It was not nearly as good as the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Supreme Court ruled on two cases with regard to vax mandates yesterday. One had to do with the OSHA vax mandate against private employers with more than 100 employees. The other had to do with healthcare facilities. The Supreme Court found 5-4, with Kavanaugh and Roberts joining the left of the court, of course, shock, shock, that the Medicare and Medicare programs could be attached to vax mandates. Essentially, they argued that Medicare and Medicaid, which were strings-attached programs, right, that one of the strings they can attach is that everybody has to be forced to get a vaccine at medical facilities. Now, this is really stupid policy. Just as a matter of policy, it's really, really stupid. The reason it's really stupid is because we have massive medical shortages right now across the country. Phil Kirpin reported yesterday we've lost 49,000 staffed hospital beds in the last 365 days, 16,000 in the last 30. And the Biden administration is celebrating the Supreme Court letting them fire nurses and doctors who have already had COVID a couple of times for declining a vaccine that does not reduce Omicron transmission. That is correct. By the way, how bad is this? Apparently, California is now telling COVID-positive medical workers to stay on the job. So the way this works is if you're not vaccinated, but you also don't have COVID, you can't work at a hospital. But if you are vaccinated and have COVID, head on into work today. According to Yahoo News, day-long waits in the emergency rooms, no one to answer the phones, no one to take out the trash, more patients arriving every day. That's the scene playing out at some hospitals across Southern California as the Omicron-fueled surge of COVID-19 contributes to a crippling shortage of doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers. State officials are attempting to address California's staffing shortage through a sweeping policy change that allows asymptomatic healthcare workers who have tested positive for COVID to return to work immediately. So, yeah, these vax mandates are, they're definitely great policy. They make perfect sense. And well, the Supreme Court basically found in ridiculous fashion that the Enabling Act for Medicare and Medicaid somehow can be cobbled together to allow for the possibility of these vax mandates being crammed down on medical workers across the country. As the dissenters, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Barrett point out, no, not so much. They say the government has not established that either provision of CMS, which is the Enabling Act, empowers it to impose a vax mandate. Rules carrying out the administration of Medicare and Medicaid are those that serve the practical management and direction of those programs. Such rules are necessary to administration if they bear an actual discernible nexus to the program's practical management. To the extent the rule has any connection to the management of Medicare and Medicaid, it is at most a tangential one. At oral argument, the government largely conceded that these statutes alone do not authorize the omnibus rule. Instead, it fell back on a constellation of statutory provisions that each concern one of the 15 types of medical facilities the rule covers. Several of those provisions contain language indicating that CMS may regulate those facilities in the interest of health and safety. In the government's view, that language authorizes CMS to adopt any requirements that CMS deems necessary, including a vax mandate. The government has not made a strong showing that this agglomeration of statutes authorizes any such rule. To start, five of those 15 facility-specific statutes don't authorize CMS to impose health and safety regulations at all. These provisions can't support an argument based on statutory text they lack. Perhaps that's why the government only weakly defends them. Then the government identifies eight definitional provisions describing, for example, what makes a hospital. These define covered facilities as those that comply with a variety of conditions, etc. The government similarly invokes a saving clause for health and safety regulations applicable to all-inclusive care programs for the elderly. The government has not made a strong showing. This hodgepodge of provisions authorizes a nationwide vax mandate. We presume Congress does not hide fundamental details of a regulatory scheme in vague or ancillary provisions. Yet here, the government proposes to find virtually unlimited vaccination power over millions of healthcare workers in definitional provisions, a saving clause, and a provision regarding long-term care facilities, sanitation procedures. Yeah, I mean, it's a stretch. It is for sure a giant stretch. For his part, Ron DeSantis in Florida, he says, we're not going to help you implement this. And in fact, hospitals in Florida are now caught between a bit of a rock and a hard place because in Florida, you are not allowed to discriminate against the unvaccinated. That is state law in the state of Florida. You can't fire somebody for being unvaccinated. At the same time, the federal government has now mandated that they are going to remove Medicare and Medicaid dollars from hospitals if they don't force their employees to get vaxxed. Here was Ron DeSantis yesterday in Florida.
The medical mandate for the nurses and the doctors, this is what they're trying to do is absolutely insane. In other states, they have fired nurses for not having vax, even though most of them have natural immunity. So they fire them. But now they're shorthanded, so what are they doing? They are bringing back on the job vaccinated nurses who are currently COVID positive. So if you're unvaccinated, naturally immune, and uninfected, they fire you. But if you're COVID positive and vax, which we know most of the people that are COVID positive now are vax, they are going back on the job. And it just shows you that CMS mandate is absolutely insane, especially given the ineffectiveness, you know, of these shots to actually stop transmission.
Ron DeSantis, of course, is exactly correct. And shame on Kavanaugh and Roberts for voting the wrong way. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Another one of the 10 GOP House members who voted to impeach former President Donald Trump, announcing he will not seek re-election. The story from correspondent Ben Thomas.
To allow the President of the United States to incite this attack without consequences is a direct threat to the future of this democracy. For this reason, I will vote to impeach this president.
That's New York Congressman John Katko in remarks on the House floor in January of last year. He's now the third of the 10 GOP members who voted to impeach Trump to say they won't seek re-election. In a statement, he says he made the decision so he could enjoy his family and life in a fuller and more present way. The 59-year-old was seen as a moderate whose congressional career was on the rise. But Katko faced a backlash from Republicans after voting to impeach Trump and at least one primary challenger in his central New York district. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, the head of the RNC defending its decision to prohibit Republican candidates from taking part in debates organized by the Commission on Presidential Debates. Bob Agnew reports.
RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel says the commission made several egregious moves in 2020.
They picked a moderator that worked for Joe Biden.
She also says the commission started the debates after a million votes had already been cast. Despite a request from the RNC, those debates start before early voting began.
And then I think the third is that members of their commission that were vocally disparaging the Republican candidate and allowed to stay in their role.
RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Bob Agnew reporting.
Newly unredacted documents from a state-led antitrust suit against Google accused the search giant of colluding with Facebook to manipulate online advertising sales. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The Marine Corps has approved its first two COVID vaccine exemptions based on religious reasons, something no other military service has done as yet. Marines say the two exemptions are the first to be approved by the Corps in 10 years. The Marines receiving 3,350 requests for religious exemptions to the mandatory vaccine as of this week and denied 3,212. As of Thursday, the Corps had discharged 351 Leathernecks for refusing the shots. Forecasters predicting very strong storm system throughout much of the east, heavy snow and ice, and brutally cold temperatures in several states. The National Weather Service says anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of snow could fall as far south as Georgia from Saturday night through Sunday. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, the Buckeye State will deploy more than 5,000 body cameras in all state prisons and adult parole authority offices. We have more on the story from correspondent John Scott.
The director of the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, Annette Chambers-Smith, says the cameras are another tool for the agency to help protect both staff members and inmates. Chambers-Smith says the state has signed a contract with Arizona-based Axon for the cameras, which include the ability to retrieve 90 seconds of video and audio after an officer first activates the camera. Ohio joins a growing number of state prison systems that are outfitting guards with the cameras. John Scott reporting.
Mixed day of trading on Wall Street Friday, ending the week. The Dow was off 201 points. On the tech side, the NASDAQ was up 87. More on these stories at townhall.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, the Biden administration is having itself one hell of a week. This is a bad week for the Biden administration. They got the Supreme Court slapping down the federal vax mandate. They've got Joe Biden riding in the 30s, low 30s in approval rating, according to Quinnipiac. And he is just failing across the board, including in his efforts to kill the filibuster. Okay, so Joe Biden went on down to the Hill yesterday. And it went horribly, just horribly. It started off before he even went down with Jen Psaki at the White House saying Joe Biden thinks that we need to make changes to the filibuster and it's super duper important.
Any piece of legislation that's ever passed, that's hard, that's difficult, goes through some ups and downs and goes through some challenges. That doesn't mean you give up. That's not what leadership is. Leadership is continuing to fight for what's right, continuing to fight to get something done. That means sometimes it fails. We don't know what will happen next. That means sometimes there are gaps between when you get to move forward. We're going to have to determine what the next steps are. But in the meantime, the president is going to continue to make calls. He's going to continue to engage with his colleagues. And that's where his focus is on at this point in time.
Yeah, well, he has no power to do that because the president of the United States is not a sentient being. He's an old man who shouts at the clouds and calls everybody who doesn't like his agenda a vicious Bull Connor racist, even though it was he who was serving in the Senate with people like George Wallace and praising them at the time. Hey, so here was Joe Biden. He goes down to the Hill and randomly he starts yelling about voting. This is not going to get the job done, sir.
The state legislative bodies continue to change the law, not as to who can vote, but who gets to count the vote. Count the vote. Count the vote. It's about election subversion. Not just whether or not people get to vote. Who counts the vote? That's what this is about. That's what makes this so different than anything else we've ever done.
Who counts the vote? Who counts the vote? Counts the vote. Counts the vote. Counts the vote.
Not going to work, dude. Not going to work. In fact, this worked so poorly that yesterday, Kyrsten Sinema, while he was in the Senate, she just burned him to the ground. So Joe Biden goes to the Senate to try and convince Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin that they should give up on their own political prospects so that this old man can pass a voting bill that she doesn't even like. Okay, and so she gets up on the Senate floor and she's like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And you can shove off, sir.
While I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country. The debate over the Senate 60-vote threshold shines a light on our broader challenges. There's no need for me to restate my long-standing support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. And there's no need for me to restate its role protecting our country from wild reversals in federal policy.
So that is Kyrsten Sinema just taking Joe Biden, breaking her back like Bane with Batman in Dark Knight Rises. I mean, it's just that is a bad sight for Joe Biden. And by the way, Joe Biden knows it. He went to these meetings, and then as he was leaving, he got very, very agitated because his medication had run out.
I hope we can get this done. The honest to God answer is I don't know whether we can get this done. As long as I have a breath in me, as long as I'm in the White House, as long as I'm engaged at all, I'm going to be fighting to change the way these legislatures have moved.
As long as I, that's pretty dark, sir. As long as I press over my call.
Joe Manchin then put out a statement in solidarity with Sinema. Just had insult to injury for the Biden administration. Quote, throughout the last decade or more, there's been broad bipartisan support for protecting the filibuster, including current and former members of the Senate. Just 4 years ago, 61 senators, 33 of whom were Democrats, sent a letter to Senators Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, warning them of the dangers of eliminating the filibuster. That letter presented a united front committed to preserve the ability of members to engage in extended debate when bills are on the floor. While some of them have changed their position, I have not. Respect is a two-way street. I respect that they have changed. I would hope they would respect that I have not. While many try to ignore this history, they do so without fully understanding the long-term institutional and democratic damage this will do to the Senate and our nation. allowing one party to exert complete control in the Senate. With only a simple majority, will only pour fuel onto the fire of political whiplash and dysfunction that is tearing this nation apart. This is Joe Manchin's statement. He says, for those who believe bipartisanship is impossible, we prove them wrong. Ending the filibuster would be the easy way out. I can't support such a perilous course for this nation when elected leaders are sent to Washington to unite our country by putting politics and party aside. So Joe Biden reduced to a sniveling, whining shell of a sniveling, whining man. So it's been a very, very, very bad week for Joe Biden. By the way, the Democrats are still relying on the filibuster. And so you think that because they're in control of the Senate, they don't use the filibuster? Wrong. So yesterday, there was a majority bill. There's a support for a bill. 55 members of the Senate supported it. That would have blocked sanctions, that they would have reimposed sanctions on companies that did business with the Russian pipeline Nord Stream 2. That legislation was called the Protecting Europe's Energy Security Implementation Act. It receives a floor vote after Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who had proposed it, agreed to release several administration nominations he had blocked over the issue. And then the Senate Democrats blocked it, using, wait for it, the filibuster. So while they are declaring it a racist hallmark of Jim Crow, they're literally using the filibuster to save Joe Biden's pro-Nord Stream 2 position. Absolutely incredible. And this presidency is a mess. This party is a mess. And so Joe Biden has been reduced to just saying random things and hoping something sticks. So yesterday he did an address in which he talked about Omicron. And again, he's got no power. He's got no ability to do anything at this point. He's a lame duck 1 year into his presidency. It's really amazing. And so now he's just going to let all of his authoritarian id run free. He says, you know what I would love? I would love for social media and for the media to stop their misinformation. Nothing like the president of the United States attempting to use the power of the federal government to cudgel the media into place. That's good. I thought this was a threat to journalism when Trump did it. When Biden does it, it's good.
If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop.
Please. Also, he says wearing a mask is a patriotic duty. He doesn't specify which kind of mask. Here he is.
As I've said in the last 2 years, please wear a mask. If you're in a, you know, I think it's part of your patriotic duty. It's not that comfortable. It's a pain in the neck. But I've taken every action I can as president to require people to wear masks in federal buildings and on airplanes and trains because they cross state lines.
And it's been so wildly effective, sir. I mean, it's not like we have any Omicron cases at all because of those measures. Really, great job. I mean, in New Jersey, New York, you know, places where everybody agrees with you. I've noticed that everyone's getting infected with Omicron. By the way, even Michael Osterholm, who used to advise Biden, he's like, this is an amazing statement. So he says cloth masks don't work against Omicron. But then he goes further. He says the thing you are not allowed to say, the kind of thing that gets you banned from YouTube if you are a member of the non-liberal party. If you're not a leftist and you say this, then you're treated like Joe Rogan. You are an abomination unto the Lord. Here's Michael Osterholm saying something about cloth masks that has been perfectly obvious for nigh on 2 years, but you weren't supposed to say it. Here he is.
The science was there. We published work back as early as April of 2020 saying that, in fact, that this virus is transmitted by an aerosol, that kind of perfume-like floating in the room, and that we needed to have that very high level of respiratory protection. You need these very tight face-fitting masks that also are breathable. And what I mean by that is it's fit and it's filtration. And the way you get fit is like a swim goggle. You can't have it leak. But if it's going to be that tight, then you have to have a material that allows the air to move through. Cloth doesn't do that.
Wait, what now? Hold up. So he just said, 1 second, you need a tight fit, which would be KN95 or N95. You need that. But anything that's loosely fit or of a material like cloth doesn't work. And he says we had data of this in April of 2020. If you said this for a year and a half on the internet, you were banned. You're banned. They would throw you off Facebook for this. They would throw you off YouTube for this. Michael Osterholm can say it. He was an advisor to Joe Biden. These liars, these unbelievable liars. Okay, so it's all falling apart for them. The good news is they have waiting in the wings one of the most talented politicians of this or any other generation, Kamala Harris, who is just, she's just an inspiring figure, deeply inspiring figure. So Kamala Harris did an interview on NBC News. It's one of the great interviews of all time. Kamala Harris is perennially the third grader whose dog ate her homework. Forever and always. She has two responses to questions. To laugh hysterically, like a lunatic, or to try and soldier her way through them like Michael Scott being asked to describe the French Revolution. Here is Kamala Harris being asked a very simple question. And, man, this is an all-time great answer right here.
Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
She's the most talented politician of our generation. I mean, by the way, every 2 days there's a piece in the mainstream media about why she needs to recapitulate her image. There's another one in the Washington Post. Like, it's almost every 2 days. Saying why her comms team is failing her, because the dictator can never fail. The dictator can only be failed. Maybe she just sucks at this. That's one of the great Selena Kyle deep lines I have ever heard from a politician in real life. Quote, it is time. This is a direct quote. It is time for us to do what we have been doing. And that time is every day. Okay, I'm trying to get a handle on what that means. Today, right now, it's the time for us to do what we've already been doing. And that time to do what we've already been doing is every day. So the past and present and future all merge. It's like a flat circle. Play it again. I need that. I need the experience of that level of genius again. I need it. I require it. This could be your next president of the United States, folks, because Joe Biden needed a black woman for Veep.
Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us
to agree
that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
My favorite time is that it is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day is that time. It's like a haiku for a person who has no brain function. That is fantastic. That is just fantastic. I guess that the goal here is that our leadership class should be actively unable to form English sentences about coherent policy. We're almost there, guys. If we just work a little harder, we'll get there. Alrighty, coming up, we will be joined by Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute to discuss all of the legal ramifications of the Supreme Court's decisions yesterday. Again, the Supreme Court decided two cases, one on the federal vax mandate on private businesses with 100 or more employees, struck that one down. They upheld the one with regard to hospitals. We'll talk about it with Ilya coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, January 22nd. They feature new and existing vendors along with collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, and much, much more. It's Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
I'll fearlessly.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Ilya Shapiro, Vice President of the Cato Institute, Director of the Robert A. Levy Center for Constitutional Studies, and publisher of the Cato Supreme Court Review. Ilya, thanks so much for joining the show. And it is now a two Shapiro show, so I appreciate the time.
My pleasure. To Shapiro. I think that's the, is that the Old Testament?
Well, it must be. I feel like there's not tons of that in the New Testament. In any case, let's talk about this Supreme Court OSHA ruling. So there are two rulings yesterday. Obviously, the OSHA ruling is the one that affects more employees. The fact to me in this case is that it was even a 6-3 is kind of astonishing to me, because what it really suggests, and this is what I keep coming down to, is that there are three members of this court are willing to greenlight anything an administrative agency does so long as they claim emergency under any circumstances. This same three-member minority, this is the Breyer, Kagan, Sotomayor minority, they were the same three people who said that the CDC could issue an indefinite eviction moratorium in the middle of a pandemic or not in the middle of a pandemic for any reason. Now they say that OSHA can force 84 million Americans to vaccinate based on health and safety at your occupational work zone. If Donald Trump had not been president from 2016 to 2020, we would just have full-scale administrative tyranny in this country.
I think it goes even beyond that, Ben. These three were also in the NFIB versus Sebelius, the very first Obamacare litigation 10 years ago. They found no limiting principle on the power to regulate interstate commerce. Remember, John Roberts there justified it under the taxing power, but they bought the idea along with the late Justice Ginsburg that as long as it's a so-called national problem, not just emergency, but a so-called national problem, then the federal government gets to do anything. That's tremendously dangerous. And here there's a further overlay of it not being congressional legislation like Obamacare. Here, indeed, it is the fiat of a particular agency trying to do, as the chief of staff, Ron Klain, retweeted, a workaround what the legal and constitutional limits on federal power.
Yeah, Ilya, it was quite amazing. I was reading that dissent on the show today. And in that dissent, the very end of it, the three dissenters, they actually say, well, this is a choice as to who gets to make these decisions. Is it a democratic branch like the administrative agency? They literally say this. They say because the president is elected and the administrative agencies are answerable to the president. Or is it the court? It's like, well, you know, there's a whole other branch of government. It's actually the one that's described in Article 1 that's really supposed to be making these sorts of decisions. But we've stretched so far in this country in terms of federal power, according to the left. So there is no enumerated power in the Constitution that grants the legislature of the federal government the capacity to force vaccination on hundreds of millions of Americans. That is a state and local power at best. It is certainly not a federal power. So you first have to violate that structure. Then you have to stretch that structure to, if Congress delegates that power to the administrative state can do it. Then you have to stretch that to, even if Congress does not delegate that power to the administrative state, the administrative state can do that under an emergency standard because the president is elected. Like, I don't even know what, like, this has nothing to do with the Constitution.
Sounds like a unitary executive theory on steroids. I thought the left didn't like unitary executive, but yeah, you elect the president and then the executive branch gets to do whatever it wants for 4 years, I guess, is the theory. It's dangerous. It's breathtaking. That's right. The question of who decides is very important here. And of course, nobody has elected the director of the secretary of HHS, let alone the director of the Center for Medicare, Medicaid Services, and OSHA, and all the rest of it. This is what then Professor Elena Kagan called presidential administration. This is what under the Obama administration was known as when Congress won't act, the president gets more powers, the pen and phone jurisprudence. It's a dangerous, dangerous trend. And I'm glad that at least the Supreme Court put some limits on that. It doesn't roll anything back that we've had, but it is not now letting the federal government go even further.
I'm assuming the Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute. So the Supreme Court did issue two statements yesterday, or two decisions. The other decision was less good. This is one suggested that the Medicare, Medicaid provisions of a federal law allow for the federal government to force hospitals all over the United States to issue their own vax mandates. This has become sort of a technical argument over whether any of these statutory provisions enabled the federal government to do this stuff. The dissenters, I think, have the better of that argument. But this does create a very awkward situation for a lot of hospitals in states like Florida. So Governor DeSantis here in Florida has said that he is not going to implement this. And not only is he not going to implement this, we have state law in Florida that bars you from discriminating against employees based on vax status. So if you're a hospital in Florida, what exactly are you supposed to do?
It's a technical question of what lawyers call preemption. That is when Congress acts, or in this case, again, it's all through agencies, which is problematic. But that is supposed to trump state law, assuming the federal government is acting, you know, within its authority, which at least temporarily the Supreme Court has said it is, and this can be enforced. So in theory, CMS could withhold Medicare and Medicaid funding if those hospitals choose to comply with state law rather than federal law. It looks like they'll be sued coming or going. So this is a lawyer full employment act, to be sure. And of course, the litigation will continue. Who knows how it all ends up, but you're right that it does put those providers in the states that have provisions like Florida's in a very delicate situation.
Including the Ilya Shapiro, he's vice president of the Cato Institute and publisher of the Cato Supreme Court Review. So final question for you, Ilya. You know, looking forward to June, which is when we expect there to be a decision essentially on Roe versus Wade. Now, I've always been doubtful that the Supreme Court is going to fully overrule Roe versus Wade. I think they're going to come up with some ridiculous pasted together standard with regard to abortion law that won't quite be the trimester standard of Roe or the undue burden standard of the of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. It'll be something else. Given the fact that the Supreme Court split the baby on this one, I just have a hard time believing they're going to go full out and do what they should do and just overrule Roe.
Yeah, the compromise between Roe and Wade is what float. But seriously, I thought this is one place where oral argument sort of changed my mind on the possibility of this, because going into it, I thought, oh yeah, there's going to be some sort of John Roberts joined with Kavanaugh, maybe Barrett as well. Some sort of compromise, you know, incrementalist, minimalist. But then listening to argument and reading the briefs and seeing that neither Mississippi nor the challengers or the federal government see a middle road as viable, if you will. And therefore, if it has to be, you know, reaffirm Roe or overturn it, I think the latter becomes more likely at this point. But you're right. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well, your mouth, too, of the Supreme Court's ears. That's Ilya Shapiro of Cato Institute. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Take care, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we'll be joined by Vivek Ramaswamy. So he's talking about Omicron. Should we really be slowing the spread? Are there some real problems with slowing the spread? Are we actually making way for a new variant of the virus that could actually be more deadly than a variant of the virus that, according to the CDC director, is about 90% less deadly than Delta in the first place? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drock. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best-tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
File fearlessly.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek, of course, is a successful entrepreneur, the author of Woke Inc., He also is the author of a new piece in the Wall Street Journal, along with his doctor wife, all about the Omicron variant and how we should be treating it. Vivek, great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Ben.
So let's talk about the Omicron variant. I am frankly astonished at the response of our public health officials, as always, who don't seem to even try to make a logical argument for what they're doing anymore. So today, Joe Biden came out and he said, we need to mask harder. And it's now die hard, die harder at this point. Just mask harder. We're going to keep masking. I don't understand what they are attempting to do. You make the case in the Wall Street Journal, along with your wife, that this is really stupid because Omicron is significantly less deadly than the original Delta variant, as now acknowledged by everyone, including the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky. Rochelle Walensky tweeted out a study yesterday showing that the Omicron variant, according to Kaiser Permanente in California, is 91% less deadly than the Delta variant. And yet we are trying to stop each other from getting Omicron, which is not going to stop people from getting the virus. It just means there could be another variant 6 months from now that's significantly more severe than we get.
Yeah, so look, Ben, I think there's a number of reasons why you could have sound public policy that tolerates the spread of the Omicron variant. Some of that could be weighing the loss of life versus the economic loss versus other health losses. I'm in favor of generally taking a more lenient policy posture. However, the piece we made in the Wall Street Journal was a point that no one else has made. Other people have made that point. The point that we made was a different one, which frankly I'm shocked that no virologist had made yet, was that actually we may be increasing the risk of selecting for a new vaccine-resistant supervariant by preventing people who are already vaccinated or immune from having the opportunity to update their immunity through actually being exposed in small ways to a milder variant like Omicron. So the way you should think about your immune system is effectively like the way you get an Apple update of your iOS or your operating system every little while. Your immune system ultimately needs to update itself too. So even if you've been infected by a prior strain or if you've been vaccinated, what happens is the virus changes gradually. It's called antigenic drift. It changes gradually over time. And exposure can actually update your immune system to those slightly changed variants. But what happens is when you enforce social distancing measures and mask mandates, you actually prevent people from being able to update their immune system in a way that when they are re-exposed later, the virus would have changed not by a little bit, but by a lot. And if you allow that cycle to continue itself many times over, yes, it's true that viruses tend to get less severe and more infectious as they evolve. That's just the history of viruses. But if you allow enough iterations, there can actually be a distribution around that expected outcome where you could actually get a much more severe strain of that virus. And that's the unlikely outcome that we're making more likely by combining widespread vaccination with widespread social distancing measures. And as I say in the piece, I don't know whether the original virus was man-made in a lab in China or not. I suspect it was. But the disaster would actually be creating a new man-made super variant as a product of bad public policy. That's why we wrote the piece.
And Vivek, it seems like everything that we are doing right now is not geared toward living with the virus, as everybody knows we have to, or just recognizing that it is indeed endemic in the population at this point. It seems like everything instead is geared toward precisely the opposite, the same exact sort of policy preferences that we were engaging in March 2020, namely slow the spread. You're not going to slow the spread of a virus. This is easily the most transmissible virus I've ever seen. I mean, every single person that I know has gotten Omicron at this point. Like every single human.
And many more that you don't know actually got it.
That's exactly right. And now you have the Biden administration pushing testing. I don't understand what the purpose of widespread testing is at this point. It does not change the vector of treatment when it comes to the virus. It would be one thing if you got tested from Omicron and now there's a treatment, a therapeutic that we bring to bear because you tested positive for Omicron. But unless you are immunocompromised or in some other way seriously vulnerable, it's not going to change your course of care to test positive for Omicron. All it's going to do is quarantine you to no end, since every other human you know is already out there spreading it to every other human you know.
Well, Ben, you're right about that, but there's something that's lurking in the subculture of science right now. So, you know, I have a background as a scientist. I read the New England Journal of Medicine from time to time. There's a really interesting article in the New England Journal of Medicine yesterday, which actually showed that if you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated with two doses of the standard vaccines, you actually have a low antibody titer against the Omicron variant. But if you've actually been infected previously with the virus or have had a breakthrough infection after having been vaccinated, you actually have high antibody titers against the virus. That was the data, okay, that they put on the New England Journal of Medicine. That's where they should stop. But if you read the conclusion to the piece, it actually has to issue a ritual incantation of the fact that actually the thing that we actually need, first of all, is to stand for widespread vaccination. I said this in the piece, widespread vaccination was the most important milestone in fighting the pandemic. But the weird part about the scientific subculture is that that had nothing to do with the paper. In fact, the paper was making the opposite point, that the data in the paper says that actually vaccination did not protect you against Omicron, and in fact, prior infection or even infection after vaccination proved to be a better protection against the new variant. Yet, we live in this subculture where even the people and the authors who are putting forth that data had to ultimately issue the ritual incantation to make sure that they weren't going to be labeled as anti-vaxxers to be able to say something in the conclusion of their paper that the rest of it had nothing to do with whatsoever. So I think that just reveals, I mean, that's a really technical example, Ben, but I reveal it because it sort of exposes this culture of fear in science where actually even if you're reaching data-driven conclusions that defect even a little bit with the prevailing political orthodoxy, you ultimately have this culture of apology and even this culture of hiding and burying those results, which I think actually leaves science itself sacrificed at the altar of this new church of scientism, which masquerades in the clothing and veneer of science, but is actually just a political agenda all the way down. And we need to see it, and I think it's increasingly endangering the pursuit of science itself, the pursuit of the scientific method, through free speech and open debate. I'm seeing that at every level in our scientific culture in a way that's beginning to worry me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the undermining of every institution in Western life over the course of the last 10 years is astonishing. The undermining of science, it was the last standing institution. It was the thing that we really had faith in because, of course, it's brought about so much prosperity and so much health and so much advancement. And yet you now see our scientific institutions that are actively attempting to suppress informational distribution. And there's a story that came out yesterday that Anthony Fauci and company, at the very earliest stages of the pandemic, there were some meetings about the origin of the virus, and there was some talk about whether it was a lab leak or not. And Anthony Fauci and company essentially said to everybody, even if you think it could have been a lab leak, please don't put that theory out there because it leads to the rise of conspiracy theories. So we are going to shut down the inquiry before it ever begins, specifically because Anthony Fauci and company don't want to deal with the political blowback of having to deal with that simple fact. Now, that sort of stuff, you want to undermine trust in science. That's the way you do it. It's not about Alex Jones ranting and raving about vaccines. The reason that science gets undermined is because it turns out that a lot of the complaints about people like Fauci end up being true.
Exactly. And Ben, I agree with what you just said. I would just personally phrase it a slight shade different, making the same point, which is that actually science isn't an institution. Science is a method. And I think what we have lost in this country is our sense of the difference between the two. Capital S science has become an institution. That is Anthony Fauci boldly saying, I am the science. It's almost an exact quote from a number of weeks ago. That's the mistake we've made, and we've forgotten the way in which science isn't an institution. It isn't a person. It isn't any human being. It isn't any kin. It is a method. It is a method of inquiry that relies on skepticism, on free speech, on open debate, on the airing of ideas. I cannot tell you how much heat I took in the last day for putting this op-ed out in the Wall Street Journal because, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of second-rate virologists that didn't actually contemplate the point that we had made that felt threatened that I was sort of, you know, I was trained as a molecular biologist but sort of invading their turf. But I think that it's this whole institutionalization of science that actually mistakes what science is all about. It is not a church. It is not an institution. It is a method of inquiry that relies on the same building blocks, by the way, as a constitutional democracy, too. Free speech and open debate. That's what we've lost in our culture.
You know, Vivek, one of the things that I was noting earlier today is that Joe Biden's presidency, which is foundering on the rocks, I mean, he is absolutely crashed. He's the Titanic. The water is being taken on. He's 3 in 10 Americans, according to Quinnipiac, say that he's doing a good job as president, those are Ishtar numbers. I mean, those are the numbers right there. And he could actually resurrect his presidency by abandoning two fundamental faith beliefs. Faith belief number one is that if you throw money at everything, it solves the problem, which, of course, has created an inflationary spiral. And then faith belief number two is that government has the ultimate capacity to solve all of your problems, including the pandemic. And that obviously was untrue from the beginning of the pandemic. He actually has the opportunity to do both of those things because Congress is not going to pass any of his spending proposals anyway. And when it comes to the pandemic, he's been blessed with Omicron to the extent that every single human being in the United States will have some form of natural immunity or vax immunity by this time next week, given the trajectory of this thing. He could just say, listen, we've done all we can do. The vaccines are widely available. Go out and live your lives. And nobody would blame him for that. And instead, he just keeps grasping harder. It's amazing.
Well, I am sure that even though he is actually implementing policies that go in the opposite direction, he will take credit for that when ultimately the spread of Omicron and increasingly milder variants bring us to the end of the pandemic, just as it brought us to the end of the Spanish influenza pandemic a century ago. History repeats itself. He's going to be able to take credit for that in the cycle of the next election. I think people should remember this moment right now when ultimately actually holding him to account to say that that was not because of his efforts, but despite his best efforts. on the first point, Ben, I think you're absolutely right, thinking that throwing money at every problem. I mean, this is a problem, unfortunately, that we've had over the last 10 years, regardless of who was in office. It was a problem under Obama. In my opinion, it was a problem under Trump. I think it remains a problem under Biden. That's a separate cultural shift that we need to talk about another time in our country, that at least we used to have a conservative movement that stood for a principle of actually solving problems in ways that didn't involve just overspending to be able to stimulate an economy and prop up a short-term economy to create short-run political gain for the person who's in office. But that's a culture that I think is mostly a problem for the Democratic Party. It's one of the things I worry about in 2022. If there's a red wave, I don't really know that that's actually going to be all that meaningful if Republicans simply espouse that same philosophy under different clothing. Of course, that's a discussion for a different day.
That's Vivek Ramaswamy. You can go check out his latest piece in the Wall Street Journal and make sure you pick up a copy of his latest book, Woke Inc. It is definitely worth the read. Vivek, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. In just one second, we'll get to the woke linguistic police over at UC Irvine. Pretty astonishing the kind of language they are attempting to now push. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Alrighty, coming up, UC Irvine now has a new manual discussing what sort of language you should use that won't offend anyone around you. Now, that's because we've all gone insane. In order for us to have a common society, we have to use language with words that we all understand. If we are speaking different languages to one another, then we are the Tower of Babel. Unfortunately, the left has decided that common words that we all understand are the enemy of goodness. Instead, we have to use a bunch of words that we don't understand that make no sense whatsoever. And if we don't do that, we are not woke. We are not being properly sensitive. Once language becomes an exercise in subjectivity, we lose our ability to communicate, which may in fact be the point, because then everything just becomes a power game, which is what the left thinks it is. Anyway, already coming up, we'll get to that. We'll get to UC Irvine promulgating new language standards, plus a new TV show about Zorro, with a female Zorro who's Latinx. Oh, great. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi. This is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
To cancer.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, our universities are indoctrinating people in unbelievable stupidity. The University of California at Irvine has now put out an inclusive language guide from their Office of Information Technology. They say that UCI is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion. So DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is the language of critical race theory. DEI is just a guise for we need equal outcomes. It's not about everybody having equal rights. It's about people having equal outcomes. And we are going to change language in Orwellian fashion in order to achieve this end. They say that the document that they are handing out to people in IT should guide your terminology choices in your documentation, code base, and discussions. Where you control the choice of words, you should choose wisely. We encourage you to use terminology from this guide in areas you can, but understand there may be times when words from outside systems, legacy technology, or existing standards can constrain your options. In those cases, consider inclusion alternatives, such as providing a mapping from old to new terminology with source attribution when necessary. So we are literally going to change how we use words. Favor gender-neutral terms whenever possible. Avoid constructions like he or she, he slash she, and s slash he. Singular they has been in use for centuries. So no longer should you use he or she, which, by the way, was the politically correct construction. And for most of my life, if you had a sentence that said he or she has to be held to account, right? When one has to be held, right, whenever you would do that, that was considered the politically correct alternative. The non-politically correct alternative was to just use he. Now you can't use he or she because the person might not be a he or a she. The person might be a she-he or a he-she or a hishimashimu or shiks or shanks or janks or junks or hule. So now you have to use they. You should use they and them. You should not use guys or gals. You should use folks, team, or y'all. You shouldn't use chairman. You should use chair, moderator, or chairperson. You should no longer use the word mankind. You should use humankind. I don't know why that's an improvement, because it still includes the word mankind. So there's that. Humanity, which, again, still has the word man in it. Or people. You should not use the phrase sister school or sister campus. If you say that UC Irvine has a sister school and that sister campus is UCLA, that's bad. You should say other UC campus. If you say somebody is grandfathered in, you shouldn't say that. You should say legacy status. You should never say that somebody is your right-hand man. You should say they are your indispensable counterpart. You should never say that you don't have enough manpower. You should say person hours or level of effort hours. You should also never say that somebody is the man in the middle. Instead, you should use attacker in the middle. Attacker in the middle. Interesting. Use inclusive names and examples. For people, pick names with origins in multiple cultures. What would be an inclusive name? Like, I don't know, really. Like, what is a name with origins in multiple cultures? Do they have any examples of this? I'd be curious. Like, is Juan a name in multiple cultures? Or does that seem mostly Hispanic? Like, how do you define this? It turns out that the name John is a name that applies across various ethnicities, but it's also a name that is drawn from the Bible, so I don't know, like, what they're talking about. Don't make generalizations about people, countries, regions, and cultures. even if your intent is to cast them in a positive light. Also, be mindful of the layers of meaning behind your word choices, says UC Irvine. The history of a term matters. Connotations gained since the coining of a term matter too. So even if there is a term that has no racial connotations, if people could take it that way, don't use it. So if you use the term blacklist, that's bad. Because blacklist, which doesn't really, the origin of that term is not with black people. Still, people could be upset about it. You should also not say native feature. If you say that there's a native feature to technology, like it's built in, you shouldn't use native because that might imply to, apply to Native Americans or something. Instead, you're supposed to say built in. You're also not supposed to say housekeeping tasks because housekeeping is, I guess, offensive to women or something, which is weird. Instead, you're supposed to say maintenance. Also, never, ever, ever use metaphors, which can introduce unneeded baggage. Prefer verbs to nouns. Don't say that there's a master-slave connection with regard to your computer. Instead, say primary replica or primary secondary. And the notion that slavery only applies to black Americans is historically inaccurate and insane. You're not supposed to say off the reservation anymore. You have to say against the grain or counterproductive. And also, never say a user with a visual impairment. Say screen reader or magnifier user, which I don't even know what that means. Never say hearing impaired. Say hard of hearing. How is that an improvement? And also make sure that you avoid ableist language. Never say sanity check. Instead, say confidence check. Never say tone deaf. Say inconsiderate, thoughtless, or careless. By the way, tone deaf does not mean that somebody's actually deaf. Like, that's not actually what tone deaf means. It means that you can't hear notes properly and then recapitulate them. If somebody is tone deaf, it means they can't sing, not that they're deaf. These people are such idiots. Also, avoid violent language. Never say that you're going to kill a process. Say you're going to halt or stop a process. This is my favorite one. They've been using this one, and it's so good. Never say, according to UCI, kill two birds with one stone. Instead, say, I'm not kidding, feed two birds with one scone. Feed two birds with one. Have you ever fed two birds with one scone? Is that a thing that you've done? And is it that difficult to do? I don't feel like it's that difficult. Like the whole phrase, kill two birds with one stone, is that you're doing something difficult. You're cutting the Gordian knot. Feed two birds with one scone. My God. Also, never say that you're nuking a process. You say you're deleting it. You're just deleting it. These people are so crazy. They're so crazy. UC Irvine, man. Good stuff. I'm glad that people are paying tens of thousands of dollars in taxpayer dollars to make sure that people can get an education in nonsense like this. Meanwhile, I have to announce that I am very, very excited about the new production of Zorks. I call it Zorks, of course, because Zorro is gendered language. Robert and Rebecca Rodriguez are bringing Zorro to the CW, according to Nerdist. Deadline is reporting a young Latinx woman seeking vengeance for her father's murder joins a secret society and adopts the outlaw persona of Zorro. Now, first of all, Zorro means fox. I don't know why it wouldn't be Zora if you're looking for a female-gendered Zorro, except you want to keep the brand name, but you also want to go politically correct. So if you really want to do this correctly, then you need Zorks. I don't know how interested y'all are watching in watching Zorks, but I guess that we're not going to do Zorks. It'll still be called Zorro because you have to take advantage of the brand. But also, it's really offensive because gendered language is inherently offensive, even though no one who speaks Spanish has ever been offended by the gendered language of it. Now, this convention, how long are they going to keep pushing this convention? There's not a single Latino person on planet Earth who cares about this outside the woke left. No one can, and they're frankly appalled by it. I mean, most Hispanics, I mean, there are polls to show this. Hispanic Latino people, they do not care at all about the gendered nature of their language. And they feel like it is a stripping away of their culture when a bunch of idiot white people are like, what if we just got rid of the gendered nature of your language? It's an absurdity. But again, if there is a series called Zorks, I might watch. If it's called Zora, no. If it's called Zorro and it's just a female Zorro, that doesn't make any sense. So Zorks. I'm up for Zorks, is I guess what I'm saying. Alrighty, we'll be back here tomorrow with much, much more content. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful evening. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Brutally cold conditions in much of the eastern part of the United States. New York State Homeland Security and Emergency Services Commissioner Jackie Bray.
Really from the mid-Hudson region north and west. We've got wind chill in the negative teens. Up in the north country, we've got wind chill in the negative 35, negative 30.
And parts of the Midwest and South also facing very cold conditions, not to mention heavy snow and ice in the forecast for several regions. Near Atlanta, shoppers have been hitting store shelves for supplies, road crews trying to prevent any major accidents over the weekend. The National Weather Service says northeast Georgia could get up to 5 inches of snow by Sunday morning. Also at townhall.com, a new study offers stronger evidence that one of the world's most common viruses may set some people on the path to developing multiple sclerosis.
The Epstein-Barr virus has long been a suspect. Harvard researchers tracked blood testing of 10 million U.S. military recruits over 20 years and concluded Epstein-Barr and no other virus greatly increased the risk of later MS. It's not the only factor because just about everybody gets Epstein-Barr, but only a small fraction develop potentially disabling MS, but it may spur vaccine development. Ron DeRockster reporting.
For the first time in 6 months, families Friday are going without a monthly deposit from the child tax credit. The program was intended to be part of President Biden's legacy, but has instead become a flashpoint over who's worthy of the support. Monthly tax credits started arriving thanks to Biden's $1.9 trillion virus relief package. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tags, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The dominant streaming service in the U.S. raising prices again.
Fans of Cobra Kai or The Witcher should get ready for higher prices. Effective Friday, Netflix is raising its rates by $1 to $2 a month in the U.S. and Canada, depending on the plan. Less than a year and a half since its last price increase. The standard package that most people take will increase by $1.50 to $15.50 per month, or $16.50 in Canada. The company got a lot of new customers during the early part of the pandemic, with more than 213 million subscribers around the globe. But it's facing saturation in the U.S. and Canada, and competition from other streaming services like Disney Plus and HBO Max. Netflix is investing in video games as it looks for growth beyond movies and TV. I'm Jennifer King.
First Lady Jill Biden visiting a tornado ravaged neighborhood in Kentucky, meeting with residents and local leaders. The Bowling Green neighborhood was one of several areas hit December 10th by a series of twisters. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. All Americans pulled their purse strings tight last month, retail sales dropping like a rock. Here's Rich Thomason with the story.
Sales tumbled almost 2% from November, with consumers facing shortages of goods, rising prices, and the spread of the Omicron coronavirus variant. Spending declines were pretty much across the board. Department store sales dropped 7%, restaurant sales slipped 0.8%, and online sales plunged 8.7% compared with the previous month, according to the Commerce Department. Rich Thomason reporting.
We saw mixed trading on Wall Street Friday. Dow Industrials lost 201 points, closing at 35,911. NASDAQ was up 87 for the day at 14,893. S&P 500 up just a fraction, 3 points, at 46.62. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. For peace of mind whenever you go online, visit expressvpn.com/Ben. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 yesterday that Joe Biden's vaccine mandate via OSHA was wildly unconstitutional because, as it turns out, it is wildly unconstitutional. It is a violation of the separation of powers. It is a violation of the Enabling Act of the original body itself, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And it was being used as a cudgel by the executive branch of the government to simply end around the constitutional process of working through a legislature. See, here in the United States, there's this thing called the Constitution. The Constitution mandates that if you're going to effectuate a major policy, you need to go through this thing called the legislature. The legislature is, in its turn, comprised of two separate bodies, the House of Representatives, which is apportioned according to population, and the Senate of the United States, in which each state gets two senators. I know this is really basic stuff, but apparently people on the left need to hear this. The New Republic today, I'm not even kidding you. They tweeted out today, the New Republic, which is supposed to be a sophisticated liberal magazine, quote, "The real Supreme Court ruling appears to be this. The Biden administration can only try new solutions to new problems if it runs them through a gerrymandered House and a filibuster-friendly Senate first." Oh, you mean you can only do things that you don't have the authority to do if you are given that authority by the Congress of the United States? Who could have suspected such a thing, except for everyone who has ever read the Constitution of the United States? It's just unbelievable. Okay, so the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of getting rid of Joe Biden's vax mandate. And the language was pretty strong here. We're going to go through it. And as we do, I want you to remember that there were three justices on the other side, Breyer, Kagan, Sotomayor. And those three justices on the other side ruled that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, with no actual statutory authority, could force 100 million Americans to vaccinate because they had jobs. That is what the left of the court said. That an obscure agency that generally you have no interface with, that obscure agency granted power by an act in the 70s, suddenly had the authority to decide whether you had to vaccinate, whether or not you had natural immunity or religious objection or some sort of existing condition that prevented you from getting the vaccine safely, that you had to vaccinate or lose your job. Three justices on the Supreme Court said that that was totally fine. And if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016, that would have been five or six justices on the Supreme Court of the United States. Because remember, President Trump got three picks. All three voted the right way in this particular case. All right, so here's what the court ruled yesterday. The Secretary of Labor, acting through the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, recently enacted a vaccine mandate for much of the nation's workforce. The mandate, which employers must enforce, applies to roughly 84 million workers, covering virtually all employers with at least 100 employees. It requires that government workers receive a COVID-19 vaccine. It preempts contrary state laws. The only exception is for workers who obtain a medical test each week at their own expense and on their own time, and also wear a mask each workday. OSHA has never before imposed such a mandate, nor has Congress. Indeed, although Congress has enacted significant legislation addressing the COVID-19 pandemic, it has declined to enact any measure similar to what OSHA has promulgated here. Many states' businesses and nonprofit organizations challenged OSHA's rule in courts of appeals across the country. The Fifth Circuit initially entered a stay, but when the cases were consolidated before the Sixth Circuit, that court lifted the stay and allowed OSHA's rule to take effect. Applicants now seek emergency relief from this court, arguing OSHA's mandate exceeds its statutory authority and is otherwise unlawful, agreeing that applicants are likely to prevail, we grant their applications and stay the rule. Remember, this is a preliminary injunction because the rule didn't even go into effect. So the Supreme Court then goes through the history of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, which was created in 1970. The act created OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which is part of the Department of Labor and under the supervision of its secretary. As its name suggests, OSHA is tasked with ensuring occupational safety, that is, safe and healthful working conditions. It does so by enforcing occupational safety and health standards promulgated by the secretary. Such standards must be reasonably necessary or appropriate to provide safe or healthful employment. It must also be developed using a rigorous process that includes notice, comment, and an opportunity for a public hearing. However, there's an exception. You're allowed to also promulgate emergency temporary standards. Such standards may take immediate effect upon publication in the Federal Register. This is only permissible in extremely narrow circumstances. It's only been used 9 times before this emergency authority. 6 of those times it was challenged in court. Only one of those was upheld in full. Okay, so the Supreme Court goes through the process by which the Biden administration created this OSHA rule. And the Supreme Court then points out that applicants are likely to succeed on the merits of their claim that the secretary lacked authority to impose the mandate. Administrative agencies are creatures of statute. They accordingly possess only the authority Congress has provided, right? Congress says that OSHA can do X. OSHA cannot do X, Y, and Z. OSHA can only do X. And if OSHA proclaims that Z is part of X, OSHA has exceeded its mandate under its enabling act. The secretary has ordered 84 million Americans to either obtain a COVID-19 vaccine or undergo weekly medical testing at their own expense. This is no everyday exercise of federal power. It is instead a significant encroachment into the lives and health of a vast number of employees. This is the Supreme Court. We expect Congress to speak clearly when authorizing an agency to exercise powers of vast economic and political significance. There can be little doubt that OSHA's mandate qualifies as an exercise of such authority. The question, then, is whether the act plainly authorizes the secretary's mandate. It does not. The act empowers the secretary to set workplace safety standards, not broad public health measures. No provision of the act addresses public health more generally, which falls outside of OSHA's sphere of expertise. So in other words, it is true that COVID-19 is a threat inside the workplace. It is also a threat outside the workplace and everywhere else that human beings congregate. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high, again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
And as the Supreme Court is about to say, just because you have a job doesn't mean that the court can now do that, that OSHA can now do whatever it wants to you. So, for example, OSHA could not promulgate a rule saying that obesity is a serious problem at the workplace because there are people at the workplace and obesity is a problem. Therefore, it is a serious workplace problem. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat fatty foods at your workplace via OSHA, via OSHA regulation. There's nothing that would allow that sort of thing. The dissent protests we are imposing a limit found no place in the governing statute. Not so, says the Supreme Court. It is the text of the agency's organic act that repeatedly makes clear that OSHA is charged with regulating occupational hazards and the safety and health of employees. The Solicitor General does not dispute that OSHA is limited to regulating work-related dangers. She instead argues the risk of contracting COVID-19 qualifies as such a danger. We cannot agree. Although COVID-19 is a risk that occurs in many workplaces, it is not an occupational hazard in most. COVID-19 can and does spread at home, in schools, during sporting events, everywhere else people gather. That kind of universal risk is no different from the day-to-day dangers that all face, from crime, air pollution, or any number of communicable diseases. Permitting OSHA to regulate the hazards of daily life simply because most Americans have jobs and face those same risks while on the clock would significantly expand OSHA's regulatory authority without clear congressional authorization. The dissent says the Supreme Court contends that OSHA's mandate is comparable to a fire or sanitation regulation imposed by the agency. But a vaccine mandate is strikingly unlike the workplace regulations that OSHA has typically imposed. A vaccination, after all, cannot be undone at the end of the workday. Contrary to the dissent's contention, imposing a vaccine mandate on 84 million Americans in response to a worldwide pandemic is simply not part of what the agency was built for. That is not to say OSHA lacks authority to regulate occupation-specific risks related to COVID-19, where the virus poses a special danger because of the particular features of an employee's job or workplace, targeted regulations are plainly permissible. We don't doubt, for example, that OSHA could regulate researchers who work with COVID-19. OSHA could regulate risks associated with working in particularly crowded or cramped environments, but the danger present in such workplaces differs in both degree and kind from the everyday risk of contracting COVID-19 that all face. Then they point out that the Senate of the United States actually voted against greenlighting exactly this procedure. There was a procedural vote that was brought up before the Senate, and the Senate symbolically said, we don't like this regulation, which is a pretty good indicator Congress does not mean to grant this sort of authority to OSHA. The Supreme Court says the equities do not justify withholding interim relief. We're told by the states and the employers that OSHA's mandate will force them to incur billions of dollars in unrecoverable compliance costs and will cause hundreds of thousands of employees to leave their jobs. For its part, the federal government says the mandate will save over 6,500 lives and prevent hundreds of thousands of hospitalization. The Supreme Court says it is not our role to weigh such trade-offs. In our system of government, that is the responsibility of those chosen by the people through the democratic process. Although Congress has indisputably given OSHA the power to regulate occupational dangers, it has not given that agency the power to regulate public health more broadly. Requiring the vaccination of 84 million Americans simply because they have jobs certainly falls in the latter category. Okay, so that is the majority Supreme Court opinion, 6-3. Then there is also the concurrence. When the concurrence goes further, this is from Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito. We'll get to that in just 1 second because it makes some pretty important points about the legislative branch and why we still need a legislative branch in the United States. This really was a clash of massive ideas as to the future of the country. If this had gone the other way, it would essentially spell the end, truly, of anything remotely like the constitutional structure in the United States. Essentially, we'd be living under full administrative fiat at the behest of the wild left, greenlit by justices on the Supreme Court if this had gone the other way. We'll get to that in just 1 moment. First, I really don't need to tell you why you need to lose weight. Pretty much everybody in our society right now kind of needs to lose weight. The average American is significantly overweight, and that causes all sorts of complicating health conditions. But losing weight, it's not easy, and it's not really your fault, because successful weight loss requires both a shift in diet and a positive and determined mindset. You need help from the outside. You need SOTA, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. It works. The SOTA nationwide weight loss program is 100% over the phone. No more fighting traffic, no more excuses. You'll have a nutritionist. SOTA's sincerely kind, compassionate, caring nutritionist will not hesitate to offer up some tough love, tears of joy, high fives. They'll be right there with you. You want to run through a wall for them because they won't let you fail. It's not a workout plan, because the root cause of weight gain and obesity is really about addiction recovery. It's what you eat, fixing your habits. You'll get an easy-to-follow plan, an optional supply of food at no extra cost, and support from a nutritionist who cares. For exercise, if you are physically able, 30-minute walks every day, 7 days a week, that's it. We have coworkers who are raving about SOTA. Read the over 5,200 client Google business reviews and study the over 700 stunning client before and after photos. SOTAweightloss.com. SOTA weight loss is, say it with me now, state of the art. Alrighty, coming up, the concurrence in this case from Justices Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito is really telling, because it really spells the direction the Supreme Court needs to go. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's not just that the majority opinion in the Biden vax mandate case is correct. The concurrence goes even further, and it really underscores the major issue at stake in the country. On to the concurrence in this case. This is Gorsuch, Thomas, and Alito. They say the central question we face today is who decides. No one doubts that the COVID-19 pandemic has posed challenges for every American, or that our state, local, and national governments all have roles to play in combating the disease. The only question is whether an administrative agency in Washington, one charged with overseeing workplace safety, may mandate the vaccination or regular testing of 84 million people, or whether, as 27 states before us submit, that work belongs to state and local governments across the country and the people's elected representatives in Congress. This court is not a public health authority, but it is charged with resolving disputes about which authorities possess the power to make the laws that govern us under the Constitution and the laws of the land. And essentially what they say is state and local governments have extraordinary plenary authority when it comes to regulation of health. This is not true of the federal government. The federal government's powers are not general, but limited and divided, say the three concurring justices. Not only must the federal government properly invoke a constitutionally enumerated source of authority to regulate in this area or any other, it must also act consistently with the Constitution's separation of powers. And when it comes to that obligation, this court has established at least one firm rule. We expect Congress to speak clearly if it wishes to assign to an executive agency decisions of vast economic and political significance. We sometimes call this the major questions doctrine. OSHA's mandate fails that doctrine's test. The agency claims the power to force 84 million Americans to receive a vaccine or undergo regular testing by any measure. That is a claim of power to resolve a question of vast national significance. Yet Congress has nowhere clearly assigned so much power to OSHA. Approximately 2 years have passed since the pandemic began. Vaccines have been available for more than a year. Over that span, Congress has adopted several major pieces of legislation aimed at combating COVID-19. It seems, too, that the agency pursued its regulatory initiative only as a legislative workaround. Hey, what's hilarious about that particular note right there, which is that OSHA created this because they couldn't get it done in the legislature, is that Ron Klain literally tweeted that. Joe Biden's chief of staff tweeted that, and then that tweet was cited as evidence by the concurrence in this case, saying, you guys can't do that. It violates the constitutional structure. So well done, Biden administration. I mean, just admitted what you were doing, and the court caught you. What is OSHA's reply? It directs us to 29 U.S.C., U.S. Code, Section 655C1. In that statutory subsection, says the concurrence, Congress authorized OSHA to issue emergency regulations upon determining that employees are exposed to grave danger from exposure to substances or agents determined to be toxic or physically harmful, and that such emergency standards are necessary to protect employees from such danger. According to the agency, this provision supplies with almost unlimited discretion to mandate new nationwide rules in response to the pandemic, so long as those rules are reasonably related to workplace safety. The court rightly applies the major questions doctrine and concludes that this lone statutory subsection does not clearly authorize OSHA's mandate. That section was not adopted in response to the pandemic, but 50 years ago at the time of OSHA's creation. Since then, OSHA has relied on it to issue only comparatively modest rules addressing dangers uniquely prevalent inside the workplace, like asbestos and rare chemicals. As the agency itself explained to the federal court less than 2 years ago, the statute does not authorize OSHA to issue sweeping health standards that affect workers' lives outside the workplace. But that is exactly what they are trying to do right now. The concurrence continues. They say, why does the major questions doctrine matter? It ensures the national government's power to make the laws that govern us remains where Article 1 of the Constitution says it belongs, with the people's elected representatives. If administrative agencies seek to regulate the daily lives and liberties of millions of Americans, the doctrine says, they must at least be able to trace that power to a clear grant of authority from Congress. And then, the court continues, say, in this respect, the major questions doctrine is closely related to what is sometimes called the non-delegation doctrine. Indeed, for decades, courts have cited the non-delegation doctrine as a reason to apply the major questions doctrine. Essentially, the non-delegation doctrine says the legislative branch of the government cannot pass a law saying to the executive branch, do whatever you want. Right? That is a delegation of powers it cannot delegate. And so the way you can tell if the non-delegation doctrine has been violated is if there are major questions that have been left wildly open to the interpretation of executive branch agencies. Say the concurrences. The non-delegation doctrine ensures democratic accountability by preventing Congress from intentionally delegating its legislative powers to unelected officials. Sometimes lawmakers may be tempted to delegate power to agencies to reduce the degree to which they will be held accountable. If Congress could hand off all legislative powers to unelected agency officials, it would dash the whole scheme of our Constitution. The major questions doctrine serves a similar function by guarding against unintentional, oblique, or otherwise unlikely delegations of the legislative power. Sometimes there's ambiguity, and agencies take advantage, for example. Whichever the doctrine, the point is the same. Both serve to prevent government by bureaucracy supplanting government by the people. And both hold their lessons for today's case. This is the concurrence. On the one hand, OSHA claims the power to issue a nationwide mandate on a major question, but can't trace its authority to do so to any clear congressional mandate. On the other hand, if the statutory subsection the agency cites really did endow OSHA with that power, that law would likely constitute an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority. Under OSHA's reading, the law would afford it almost unlimited discretion. And this is the key point. And this is the key point that the concurrence is making. The legislature still exists, and because the legislature still exists and ought to exist, OSHA does not have this authority. If Congress wants to pass a law like this, it actually has to make the case that it's going to pass the law like this. Okay, so in a second, we will get to the dissent, because to me, the dissents in this case are spine-chilling. They really are. They should chill your blood. At first, Jen Psaki came out yesterday, posted the decision from the White House. She says, don't worry, Joe Biden is still going to encourage businesses to implement the vax mandate. Here's the thing. If a business chooses to implement that vax mandate, that is now on the business. That business no longer gets to blame Joe Biden or the federal government. This also gives the lie to a lot of businesses that were saying, we're going to preemptively do this under the assumption that it was going to be greenlit by the Supreme Court. Now, you didn't have to. You guys didn't have to. You could have stood up for your employees. And here's Jen Psaki saying they're going to encourage businesses to continue this anyway.
The Supreme Court's decision on the OSHA mandate essentially means that in this pandemic, it is up to individual employers to determine whether their workplaces will be safe for employees and whether their businesses will be safe for consumers. So President Biden, you'll see this in his statement, will be calling on and will continue to call on businesses to immediately join those who have already stepped up, including one-third of Fortune 100 companies, to institute vaccination requirements to protect their workers, customers, and communities.
Okay, so they can encourage as much as they want, but that's not what they were attempting to do. They were attempting to destroy businesses that refused to comply. They were literally threatening businesses with $14,000 fines for every unintentional violation and $140,000 fines for every intentional violation. They would have bankrupted our company inside of a week. That was their goal. That was their explicit goal here. And it wasn't to shut down the virus, because they can't do that, not with Omicron. It was to control. That's all they care about. And it comes from a deep-seated view of the world that is perverse and un-American. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the dissent in this case, because that's what's at stake in the United States. What the dissent has to say is that the administrative state should be able to tyrannize you however it damn well pleases. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Celebrate with us all month long at Wind River Resort and Casino and play our $100,000 Wild Cherry Zoo Ball Swipe to Win. Win big cash prizes or $100,000. Plus, earn entries all month long to increase your chances to be a contestant Thursday at 7 p.m. Cheer for the colored balls to fill the Zoo Zone and walk away a winner. But wait, there's more. All contestants will have a second opportunity to win a new Wild Cherry Dodge Challenger. See WindRiver.com for official rules and find your moment with us at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the dissent in the Biden vax mandate case is really telling. It basically says that if it were up to the left, the administrative state would be able to run your life however it damn well pleased. The mentality of the dissent is really worth noting here, because we were this close in 2016, this close to complete administrative tyranny in this country. The dissent in this case does not attempt to make a constitutional argument. They don't attempt to look at the major questions doctrine or non-delegation doctrine. They simply say that if there is a vaguely worded statute and is tossed over to administrative agencies, those administrative agencies should be able to control every aspect of your life without any interference from the courts. You should not be able to sue, because those people are best placed to actually determine the course of your – they're the experts. If we could just toss all governance in the United States to the experts at the administrative agencies, and then the Supreme Court could say, listen, we're not experts. It's up to those experts. Well, what you would have is administrative tyranny. And if not for the justices appointed by President Trump, that would be the way the government is done from here on out in the United States. In some areas, it's already pretty close to that. But it would have been full-scale administrative tyranny top-down. You admit you elect your administrative tyrant once every 4 years. A left-wing court strikes down the excesses of right-wing presidents and greenlights all of the excesses of left-wing presidents. And the legislature would become what it has been for quite a while, a vestigial organ of American government. This is what the left wants, because all you have to do is cite an emergency. And the left is fond of it. They love emergencies. Emergencies happen all the time. Climate change is an emergency. Racism is an emergency. Poverty is an emergency. COVID-19 is an emergency. Now, I'm not saying COVID-19 wasn't an emergency at the beginning. It was. But it's not an emergency now. It is not. Okay, but they are going to maintain forever that emergencies are the way things are done. That's what's at stake in this country. Two very different views of what government is supposed to do. It was amazing. So yesterday, I tweeted out that the Daily Wire, and again, we are very proud of standing up on behalf of our employees, and I can tell you that they are very happy to be working here today. They signed up for a reason to work here. We're very proud we stood up for our employees. We refused to comply day one. We sued. We brought this to court. We spent our own money to do it. We urge you to subscribe and join us in the mission. Because we are, in fact, we're an LLC, which means we are a for-profit company, but we are a missional company attempting to get things done. And so I say that I was proud we stood up for our employees. And some guy named Sam Cedar, who's, I guess, a left-wing pundit, he says, stood up for employees should be read as, quote, defended the right of employers to force its workers back to work without even the protection of knowing that those around them tested negative for a deadly virus. But here is the thing. Number one, we never suggested that our workers could not wear masks. Anybody who wants to wear a mask here at the Daily Wire is perfectly welcome to do so. You can wear an N95 as much as you damn well please. You can wear whatever you want. We don't care. What we said is that we are not going to force people to take a vaccine against their will in order to retain their job. But according to Sam Cedar, this makes us discriminatory and bad. By the way, I love how Sam Cedar suggests here that what we are trying to do is defending our right to force our workers back to work without the protection of knowing that those around them were tested. He doesn't know my employees. He doesn't know any of them. I know all of them. And let me tell you something. Our employees were crying in the office in Nashville yesterday because they literally thought that they were on the verge of losing their job at the behest of Joe Biden. I know how many of my employees wanted to get the vax. I know how many of my employees have natural immunity. Sam Cedar doesn't know the name of one of my employees. I could not tell you how tired I am of hearing people on the left claim that they care more about the people whose salaries I pay and whose livelihoods I insure than I do. I'm tired as hell of this nonsense. It's garbage. In the same way, the left suggests that they ought to control your children's education. You got Terry McAuliffe out there in Virginia claiming you should have no say in your child's education. You don't know the name of my child. You don't know a damn thing about my kid. I care much more about my kid than you do. You pretending that you're an expert on how I should raise my kid is insane. And you pretending that you're an expert on my relationship with my employees, who, again, their bills are paid because they work here and choose to work here because it's a free country. You're out of your mind. You're the great defender of my employees? Why don't you take a poll of my employees on that? I mean, really. Or you don't bother. You just get to speak for them because you are so wise. You're the expert. Just like the administrative agencies, you guys are the experts. And the experts should rule on behalf of all of us. Free choice should just be flushed down the toilet. And you should rule mostly because you're so empathetic. You care so much. Now, you don't have to know any of the people that you're ruling. You don't have to know what they feel, what they think. You don't have to know their health status. You don't have to know what they would choose because their choice is irrelevant. Only your choice is relevant because you are the experts. You are the people who know the most. And that's why even their choices on how to vote for a legislature are completely irrelevant. That should not matter. The legislature should be completely thrown out. The legislature should not matter anymore. It should be a bunch of unelected experts, people like Sam Seder, deciding for everyone how life is to be led. It should be the people who have been versed in environmental studies at UCLA deciding for everyone in the United States who works a job whether or not they need to get a vaccine, whether or not they have natural immunity. Via OSHA, a statute passed in 1970. This is what the left truly thinks. And we were this close to that being the reality in the United States. This close, like hair's breadth close. And this is why the fight matters. And by the way, anybody who suggests that the dissent in the OSHA case, for example, is really about the law, yeah, it isn't. Because they would have just found some other excuse for why an administrative agency could do whatever it wants. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about something super duper awkward. So, erectile dysfunction, not anything anybody wants to talk about or even think about, but if you have erectile dysfunction, you need to get it solved. And here's the thing. You can do this quickly and discreetly and inexpensively with Get Roman. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. You can speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction. Get up to $15 off your first month of treatment. ED is more common than most people think. In fact, 52% of men between the ages of 40 and 70 will experience some form of ED. Roman Ready is confidence personified. It's that self-assurance that comes from knowing that everything works the way it is supposed to. Roman system is completely confidential, totally discreet, no logos or labels on the packages with Roman. You get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process, straightforward, convenient, and discreet. Getting started, super simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben. Complete an online visit today. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben today. If you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control. Roman Ready. Here's the thing about the left. They don't care whether it's OSHA. They don't care whether it's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They don't care whether it's Health and Human Services or the Department of Education. They don't care whether it's the Secretary of Labor or the Secretary of the Interior. They don't care. All that matters is that unelected bureaucrats get to do the things they want because for them it's all power all the time. It's just a power game. It is about their control over you. Why? Well, because it's an emergency and the experts know what's best. They know what. Sure, they've blown it every step of the way, but they know what's best. Here is the dissent from Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Quote, every day COVID-19 poses grave dangers to the citizens of this country and particularly to its workers. The disease has by now killed almost 1 million Americans and hospitalized almost 4 million. It spreads by person-to-person contact in confined indoor spaces, so causes harm in nearly all workplace environments. And in those environments, more than any others, individuals have little control and therefore little capacity to manage risk. Really, more than any others? Well, why more than any others? It seems like you don't have the capacity to manage or control risk around you in nearly any area of life. COVID-19 is, in short, a menace in work settings. The proof is all around us. Since the disease's onset, most Americans have seen their workplaces transformed. Well, actually, we've seen most places in American life transformed, not just the workplaces. But, says the dissent, the administrative agency charged with ensuring health and safety in workplaces did what Congress commanded it to do. It took action to address COVID-19's continuing threat in those spaces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, the basic idea is that OSHA has the authority because we think OSHA should have the authority. My favorite part of this opinion is where they say, even if we thought that they didn't have the authority, we should let them do it. Quote, even if the merits were a close question, the court would badly err by issuing this stay. That is because a court may not issue a stay unless the balance of harms and the public interest support the action. Here they do not. The lives and healths of the nation's workers are at stake, and the majority deprives the government of a measure it needs to keep them safe. And so in other words, we don't care about the constitutional provisions. We don't care about the legislature. It's an emergency. We think the government should have the power to do it, so the government has the power to do it. Period. End of story. It's amazing. They say this agency's standard is informed by a half century of experience and expertise in handling workplace health and safety issues. The standard has the virtue of political accountability because OSHA is responsible to the president and the president is responsible to the American people. That's an amazing statement. OSHA is suddenly accountable to the American people? By what metric? Seriously, by what metric? We can't fire any of those people. All those people are unelected and unfireable by the American people. They're answerable to the president. So therefore, that's a democratic institution. That's a new one. That's really a new one. The administrative agencies are now democratic, answerable institutions because the president is elected. How about the legislature? They're elected more frequently. There's higher turnover. But the way that the left sees it, no, it's between the administrative agencies and the court. Its members are elected by and accountable to no one. It's amazing. Nowhere in the dissenting opinion do they actually take stock of the fact that Congress is supposed to be the deciding body here. They say, who decides how much protection and of what kind American workers need from COVID-19? An agency with expertise, acting as Congress and the president's authorized, or a court? Well, how about Congress? How about Congress? You know, the elected body. How about that one? Okay, and here's the thing. When I say that this has nothing to do with the OSHA mandate, that's because it has nothing to do with the OSHA mandate. And the reason that I say that is because if you take a look at the same group of three justices voted in favor of upholding the eviction moratorium from the CDC. You remember, the CDC put forward an eviction moratorium under President Trump that suggested that you were not allowed to evict people from their houses for a particular period of time during the original wave. It was unconstitutional at the time, by the way. And under Trump, it was unconstitutional. Forget about who's president. Administrative agencies were not given this sort of insane power to issue an eviction moratorium. By the way, it was an insane policy to begin with, given the fact that we were blowing money into people's pockets at the rate of $7 trillion in 2020. So you had to pay all your other bills, but not your rent. Anyway, the Supreme Court had struck that down, right? They said you can't do that. But there were three justices who were in favor of upholding that, saying the CDC could actually force all evictions in the United States to stop. Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan wrote in that case, quote, the CDC has issued an order that, in light of the rise of COVID-19 Delta variant, temporarily prohibits certain evictions in high transmission counties through October 3rd. Today, this court, without full briefing or argument, blocks that order. I think the court is wrong to do so, and I dissent. They say that the CDC does not lack the power to issue its modified moratorium order. Probably they have that power. They say that the statute's sentence grants the CDC authority to design measures that are, in the agency's judgment, essential to contain disease outbreaks. So, again, that is so crazy that you get the CDC, in order to prevent disease outbreaks, gets to prevent all evictions in the United States. All of them? Yeah, but this is the whole point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They don't like evictions. Therefore, evictions are bad. And because evictions are bad, the government gets to do it. And if Congress doesn't authorize administrative agencies to do it, that doesn't matter either, because those administrative agencies are super giant experts. And the experts get to do whatever they want, so long as the experts on the Supreme Court greenlight it. That is the view of the left wing of this court. And we were this close to that left wing not being a minority but being a majority on this court. That's how close we were. Remember, that's the battle, because that is the battle for the future in this country. The battle is going to be whether there is any answerability at all at the federal level. We held the federal government accountable because the Supreme Court was staffed by six Republican appointees. It is that simple. But there would be no way to hold the federal government accountable for this kind of tyranny if that court had ruled the other way. Keep that in mind, because the battle for the future is about that issue. Who gets to decide? You and your local government, your state government, or federal government officials who are not even elected. I mean, you know how many layers of unconstitutionality you have to breach in order to get to this idea in the first place? First, you have to assume that Congress has the power to do this. Congress does not have the power to do this. Nowhere does Congress have the enumerated power under the Constitution of the United States to force hundreds of millions of Americans to vaccinate. That is not in the enumerated powers of the Constitution of the United States in Article 1. It is not. Then you have to say, okay, well, even if Congress can't do that, maybe they can do it. But Congress doesn't even have to pass a law saying they can do it. They can just say OSHA can do whatever it wants. So then you have to assume that Congress is allowed to delegate enormous amounts of power it does not possess to the administrative agencies. And then those administrative agencies can use power that they don't possess, which they've received from Congress, which doesn't possess those powers, to do whatever the hell it wants. And yet this is exactly the way the left in this country would love for this country to run. When you talk about the corruption of democracy and the destruction of small R republicanism, when you talk about the destruction of the Constitution and the destruction of federalism, This is the true threat. That's a real authoritarian threat. We fought it back here at Daily Wire yesterday, but that battle is ongoing. Please join us at dailywire.com/subscribe and help us out in fighting that battle. In 1 second, we'll get to the other case that the Supreme Court ruled on yesterday. It went the wrong way on this one. This is with regard to medical workers and the attachment of Medicare and Medicaid dollars to vaccine mandates. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, I really don't need to tell you why you need to lose weight. Pretty much everybody in our society right now kind of needs to lose weight. The average American is significantly overweight, and that causes all sorts of complicating health conditions. But losing weight, it's not easy, and it's not really your fault, because successful weight loss requires both a shift in diet and a positive and determined mindset. You need help from the outside. You need SOTA, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com. It works. The SOTA nationwide weight loss program is 100% over the phone. No more fighting traffic, no more excuses. You'll have a nutritionist. SOTA's sincerely kind, compassionate, caring nutritionist will not hesitate to offer up some tough love, tears of joy, high fives. They'll be right there with you. You want to run through a wall for them, because they won't let you fail. It's not a workout plan, because the root cause of weight gain and obesity is really about addiction recovery. It's what you eat, fixing your habits. You'll get an easy-to-follow plan, an optional supply of food at no extra cost, and support from a nutritionist who cares. For exercise, if you are physically able, 30-minute walks every day, 7 days a week, that's it. We have coworkers who are raving about SOTA. Read the over 5,200 client Google business reviews and study the over 700 stunning client before and after photos. SOTAweightloss.com. SOTA Weight Loss is, say it with me now, state of the art. Alrighty, coming up, there was another Supreme Court decision yesterday. It was not nearly as good as the Ben Shapiro Show.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Supreme Court ruled on two cases with regard to vax mandates yesterday. One had to do with the OSHA vax mandate against private employers with more than 100 employees. The other had to do with healthcare facilities. The Supreme Court found 5-4, with Kavanaugh and Roberts joining the left of the court, of course, shock, shock, that the Medicare and Medicare programs could be attached to vax mandates. Essentially, they argued that Medicare and Medicaid, which were strings attached programs, right, that one of the strings they can attach is that everybody has to be forced to get a vaccine at medical facilities. Now, this is really stupid policy. Just as a matter of policy, it's really, really stupid. The reason it's really stupid is because we have massive medical shortages right now across the country. Phil Kirpin reported yesterday we've lost 49,000 staffed hospital beds in the last 365 days, 16,000 in the last 30. And the Biden administration is celebrating the Supreme Court letting them fire nurses and doctors who have already had COVID a couple of times for declining a vaccine that does not reduce Omicron transmission. That is correct. By the way, how bad is this? Apparently, California is now telling COVID-positive medical workers to stay on the job. So the way this works is if you're not vaccinated, but you also don't have COVID, you can't work at a hospital. But if you are vaccinated and have COVID, head on into work today. According to Yahoo News, day-long waits in the emergency rooms, no one to answer the phones, no one to take out the trash, more patients arriving every day. That's the scene playing out at some hospitals across Southern California as the Omicron-fueled surge of COVID-19 contributes to a crippling shortage of doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers. State officials are attempting to address California's staffing shortage through a sweeping policy change that allows asymptomatic healthcare workers who have tested positive for COVID to return to work immediately. So, yeah, these vax mandates are, they're definitely great policy. They make perfect sense. And, well, the Supreme Court basically found in ridiculous fashion that the Enabling Act for Medicare and Medicaid somehow can be cobbled together to allow for the possibility of these vax mandates being crammed down on medical workers across the country. As the dissenters, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Barrett point out, no, not so much. They say the government has not established that either provision of CMS, which is the Enabling Act, empowers it to impose a vax mandate. Rules carrying out the administration of Medicare and Medicaid are those that serve the practical management and direction of those programs. Such rules are necessary to administration if they bear an actual discernible nexus to the program's practical management. To the extent the rule has any connection to the management of Medicare and Medicaid, it is at most a tangential one. At oral argument, the government largely conceded that these statutes alone do not authorize the omnibus rule. Instead, it fell back on a constellation of statutory provisions that each concern one of the 15 types of medical facilities the rule covers. Several of those provisions contain language indicating that CMS may regulate those facilities in the interest of health and safety. In the government's view, that language authorizes CMS to adopt any requirements that CMS deems necessary, including a vax mandate. The government has not made a strong showing that this agglomeration of statutes authorizes any such rule. To start, five of those 15 facility-specific statutes don't authorize CMS to impose health and safety regulations at all. These provisions can't support an argument based on statutory text they lack. Perhaps that's why the government only weakly defends them. Then the government identifies eight definitional provisions describing, for example, what makes a hospital a hospital. These define covered facilities as those that comply with a variety of conditions, etc. The government similarly invokes a saving clause for health and safety regulations applicable to all-inclusive care programs for the elderly. The government has not made a strong showing as hodgepodge of provisions authorizes a nationwide vax mandate. We presume Congress does not hide fundamental details of a regulatory scheme in vague or ancillary provisions. Yet here, the government proposes to find virtually unlimited vaccination power over millions of healthcare workers in definitional provisions, a saving clause, and a provision regarding long-term care facilities, sanitation procedures. Yeah, I mean, it's a stretch. It is for sure a giant stretch. For his part, Ron DeSantis in Florida, he says, we're not going to help you implement this. And in fact, hospitals in Florida are now caught between a bit of a rock and a hard place because in Florida, you are not allowed to discriminate against the unvaccinated. That is state law in the state of Florida. You can't fire somebody for being unvaccinated. At the same time, the federal government has now mandated that they are going to remove Medicare and Medicaid dollars from hospitals if they don't force their employees to get vaxxed. Here's Ron DeSantis yesterday in Florida.
The medical mandate for the nurses and the doctors, this is what they're trying to do is absolutely insane. In other states, they have fired nurses for not having vax, even though most of them have natural immunity. So they fire them. But now they're shorthanded, so what are they doing? They are bringing back on the job vaccinated nurses who are currently COVID positive. So if you're unvaccinated, naturally immune, and uninfected, they fire you. But if you're COVID positive, and vax, which we know most of the people that are COVID positive now are vax, they are going back on the job. And it just shows you that CMS mandate is absolutely insane, especially given the ineffectiveness, you know, of these shots to actually stop transmission.
Ron DeSantis, of course, is exactly correct. And shame on Kavanaugh and Roberts for voting the wrong way. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden admits he's not sure Democrats can muster enough support to suspend the filibuster.
Democrat Kyrsten Sinema all but put the party's hopes on ice when she doubled down on her standing position opposed to ending the filibuster. In a speech on the Senate floor, Sinema told colleagues, quote, eliminating the 60-vote threshold will simply guarantee that we lose a critical tool that we need to safeguard our democracy. She and Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia have drawn fire from fellow Democrats for standing firm in their support of the filibuster. Sinema says ending it would, in her words, worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country. Bob Agnew reporting.
Well, authorities say a blaze in a New Jersey chemical plant tonight has spread to several buildings, threatening to reach the plant's chemical storage area. Nearby residents are being evacuated so far. No reports of any injuries. Also at townhall.com, the government's latest figures show retail sales actually fell in December. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
Product shortages, rising prices, and the arrival of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 prompted Americans to sharply cut their spending last month. The Commerce Department reports retail sales fell a seasonally adjusted 1.9% from November. Restaurant sales slipped 0.8%, while department stores fell 7%, and online sales dropped 8.7%. Still, that followed a burst of spending in the fall that helped bolster the holiday season, and compared with December 2020, last month's retail sales were 16.9% higher. I'm Ben Thomas.
It is one nasty winter storm reaching parts of the Midwest, the East, even the Deep South, with heavy snow and brutally cold temps. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Transportation Department is launching a $27 billion program to repair and upgrade American bridges, program likely to help repair some 15,000 bridges around the nation, most of them smaller bridges in rural and farm areas.
These are the bridges that are often overlooked when decisions are being made, but they are essential for small towns, rural towns, farmers, to get their products to market, small businesses to be able to serve customers.
Thieves have been raiding cargo containers aboard trains nearing downtown Los Angeles for several months, leaving the tracks blanketed with discarded packages and debris. Officials say the sea of debris left behind included items the thieves apparently didn't think was valuable enough to take. Cameras have been able to record a number of those cases. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Justice Department will begin transferring thousands of inmates out of federal prisons next week, all part of a sweeping criminal justice overhaul that was signed by President Trump more than 3 years ago. Details from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
The department is spelling out how time credits for prisoners will work. The bipartisan law is intended to encourage inmates to participate in programs aimed at reducing recidivism, which could let them out of prison earlier. It also eases mandatory minimum sentences and gives judges more discretion in sentencing. While the transfers are expected to begin this week, it isn't clear how many inmates will be released. The department only says that thousands of inmates are being affected. Bernie Bennett reporting.
On Wall Street this week, Dow Industrials Friday lost 201 points. NASDAQ gained 87. S&P 500 was up 3 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree.
Ah, yes. Where do we find such people? And is it too late to return them? Kamala, we were playing audio from the Craig Melvin interview on the Today Show with Kamala yesterday. And the interview has been getting a lot of attention because Kamala once again performed so incredibly poorly. Yet another disaster on the media front. For Kamala, you know, the media is there to help her at every turn. So she's got to be really bad to be performing, and that's the right word, this poorly. You know, they had the child actors that they flew in from California after auditions and all of that good stuff. You can see the craters on the moon with your own eyes. Well, it'd be unusual if I could see them with someone else's eyes, but... And yesterday with Craig Melvin, now Craig Melvin is an African-American guy. He's being attacked. He's being attacked by the left, naturally. I mean, who else... kind of an Uncle Tom. They're calling him an Uncle Tom, right? Because he didn't give her softball questions, and he kind of smirked at her when she was saying incredibly stupid things. So he's being attacked, naturally, by the usual cast of characters. And they're launching a racist attack because they're racists. And they're, you know, posting photographs of him with his wife, who, God forbid, is a European Anglo-Caucasian. And that must explain why he's asking Kamala questions that she stumbled all over and made a fool of herself with. But that's, you know, that's Democrat world. We're just living in it. Information dominance. Absolutely crazy. Listen, and that's only scratching the surface on the Kamala front. Joe Biden also not having a very good time. You know, it's being described variously as Joe Biden's worst week as president. And we're almost at a year. We're not quite at a year. Today is January 14th, of course. And we're about a week away from the one-year anniversary of Joe Biden taking the oath of office on January 20th of last year. And he's been a disaster, of course, and we still have how many ships? You know, the news media, they sweep everything under the rug for the Democrats. How many ships are still sitting off the West Coast? And Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, he's doing a heck of a job, bang-up job, as transportation secretary. I got the bare shelves and the grocery stores and all this stuff going on. And Joe Biden, I tell you some of the stories he's got here. The Biden White House reeling after week of defeats, setbacks, and policy flops Of course, it's almost old news now with the rate of speed at which the news cycle regenerates itself. But the Supreme Court yesterday coming down with a, you know, perhaps a somewhat Solomon-like split decision on the Joe Biden vaccine mandates, struck it down for private employers, which is big news, big, huge news, gigantic news. And what are companies doing? Well, Citibank in New York, a big, you know, I think they give a lot of money to the Democrats. Citibank in New York, they say they're still going to fire any of their unvaccinated employees by the end of the year. In fact, if they're not vaccinated by today, they're being sent home. Citibank, you know, it's a big financial institution, and they're being sent home without pay, no pay. You know, not like the prosecutor in Baltimore who was indicted by a federal grand jury yesterday, but she keeps her job and keeps the pay coming in because, you know, Democrats. But in any event, the Citibank people say they're going to fire their employees by the end of the month. That'd be, you know, the end of the month. And they're going to fire them all if they're not vaccinated by then. But as of today, they're going to kick them out, send them home without pay. Take your book bag, no lunch for you, and you go home because you're not vaccinated. And Joe Biden is encouraging companies to do exactly that, to, you know, never mind, okay, it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Okay, we don't have the power to do that. All right, OSHA doesn't have the authority to do that, occupational safety and health. And the Supreme Court struck him down, at least on that element of it, on the private businesses. You know, any employer with 100 or more employees was being forced by the government, the barrel of a gun. You know, they believe that all power comes from the barrel of a gun. That's the Obama administration, and Joe Biden was part of that too. But the Supreme Court is allowing what we now call healthcare workers, health industry workers. We just call them doctors and nurses and things like that. They're administrators in various other positions as well, of course. But they say OSHA at least has workplace, some kind of purview there. And also they take money because of Medicare hospitals and healthcare workers, you know, because of Medicare and Medicaid. So that gives the federal government entree to dictate terms of employment to them. And God knows that's what the left likes to do, and the left is here. Joe Biden is not a smart man. He was quoting, speaking of the left, Joe Biden was quoting Joseph Stalin again yesterday. And he's done this a number of times lately. I think this might be, Michael, at least three times, maybe four times, that he's done the Joseph Stalin quote in various iterations, that it's not the votes that count, but who counts the votes. And if you go look at this for, you know, quote checker, said, well, there's no actual proof that Stalin ever said that, so he's not quoting Stalin. It's one of the most famous Stalin quotes of all of the Stalin quotes. And, you know, you can't find where Mark Twain said everything and Winston Churchill said everything either. But we still attribute them to Mark Twain and Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin. So this is a Weasley game that the left plays. Also, when you point out that Joe Biden is using a famous Joe Stalin quote, Joseph Stalin. You know, the Democrats during World War II called him Uncle Joe, tried to make history's number two mass murderer into kind of an adorable character. That's our Democrat Party. We are at 888-630, I should mention, 9625, 888-630-9625. Yeah, Joe Biden having, you know, getting whacked a la Sister Mary Elephant, early Cheech and Chung, yesterday by the Supreme Court. No mandate for the companies. Some companies are apparently going to stick with that, like Citibank anyway. And I got to tell you, it gives companies an opportunity. This, if you have some kind of a, and the company that I work for, Cumulus, has a vaccine mandate. This would give companies the opportunity to review their policy and say, well, perhaps, you know, without the mandate and with the Omicron variant being less lethal, and the vaccines now kind of petering out, and even the left-wing media like the Washington Post and the Atlantic saying, I want my life back, and Gayle King from CBS and Oprah saying, I want my life back, and I'm not going to stay in lockdown forever, and we're just going to have to start behaving like normal people. You know, we have Remember Normal t-shirts at the Chris, and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store, I should mention, since I just mentioned Remember Normal. We've also got I Survived the Wuhan Red Death, because more and more millions of Americans are experiencing the dread Red Death and surviving. And then, of course, you want your T-shirt and your coffee mug, I Survived the Wuhan Red Death. It's a timestamp from this era and all of that. But Joe Biden yesterday, he was babbling. He was somewhat incoherent. He stumbled a couple of times. He flogged the Joseph Stalin quote about, it's who counts the votes. And they're just, they're peddling this racially divisive thing that somehow elections, wasn't President Trump just crucified by the press for saying that the last election was not entirely legitimate? And now Joe Biden is saying that no election is legitimate because those terrible Republicans and, our democracy, our sacred republic is on the line here if we don't pass this big, stupid, bundled package of idiot laws that the left has put together regarding elections, giving convicted felons, Democrats knowing that the overwhelming majority of convicted felons will vote for Democrats, they want to give convicted felons and the vote, because untapped vein for the Dems, that's for sure. Remember, guns don't kill people, Democrats do. See Chicago, 797 murders last year. Not a thing. There are no Black Lives Matter marches over that. No fundraisers over that. No big deal over that. But in any event, Joe Biden having an awful, terrible week, the Supreme Court being only a part of it because he's got a lot more. A week of defeat, setbacks, and policy flops from Fox News. Axios with, and that's a left-wing, a bunch of left-wingers who do the Democrat Party's bidding for them. Biden closes out year one on an epic losing streak, and that's because he's a loser. Biden claims yet another, kind of a fun one, even the Washington Post gave him four Pinocchios for another phony story about being arrested. Remember when he lied about being arrested in South Africa because he was a crusader for Nelson Mandela? And then I think some members of the Congressional Black Caucus that were along on the trip to South Africa that he was referring to said, that never happened. And he was never in a circumstance like that. And he's a famous plagiarist. He's been stealing speeches and lines from speeches and forever and ever, and almost literally. And then there are the stories that he just makes up. I still want to see if anybody can find corn pop. I've heard maybe there really was a corn pop with the pomade in his hair, and he called him Esther Williams, and then the rusty razor and sharpening on the curb, and he's a tough guy, and a lifeguard, and the cockroaches in his lap and the hair on his legs. What a freak show this guy is. I got to tell you, if he weren't a Democrat, if he were a Republican, he would have just been flushed because of all this craziness years and years ago. But when you're a Democrat, this stuff can pile up, and no big deal. He's got wings to stay above it. Paraphrase Apocalypse Now. Joe Biden, even the Washington Post has Biden claims yet another arrest for which there is little evidence. And the Democrats at Dr. Evil's Washington Post, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not, gave him four Pinocchios, which is pretty amazing. I saw Ben Shapiro, the podcaster and radio host Ben Shapiro, was on the Fox News Channel today, smart man. And he used a funny line, made me laugh. He said of Biden's presidency, Biden's presidency has fallen and it can't get up. See, it's fun. Bada boom. It's fallen and it can't get up. His presidency has, because he should be wearing his presidential medic alert. They should put a tracker on him too, just in case he wanders out of the White House, something like that. Maybe one of those Apple trackers that the criminals use for apple jacking cars. That's one of our brilliant listeners came up with that. They have these little tracking devices, the size of a cufflink. They can put on your car and track your car on their phones, and then they come to your house and steal your car later on when you're not looking. Amazing stuff. And, Herschel Walker, the NFL legend, Hall of Famer, is running for Senate as a Republican in the state of Georgia. And he's got a Twitter account. He says, first president said, if you don't vote for him, you're not black. Remember that? I think he was on with Charlemagne the Misspelled God when he said that, wasn't he? And he said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Really? You, like the whitest person in history, going to be lecturing black people about whether they're black or not? Then he said, if you question the government, you're a domestic terrorist. I said, you know, then school board meetings. We've got more on that today, too, because everybody's a terrorist. Now, you know, I think we might have to have T-shirts to say domestic terrorist, because it's going to become a badge of honor the way these left-wing criminals are going with the abuses of the FBI and the Justice Department. And we got some of that coming up for you today. And he said, now, if you disagree with his voting law, you're a racist. I thought he was supposed to bring people together, said Herschel Walker on his Twitter account. And don't mess with Herschel Walker. I think that's good policy. Says, hey, yeah, first you don't vote for him, you're not black. Then you question his government, you're a domestic terrorist. Now you disagree with his voting law, you're a racist. You know, that's their answer to everything, the party of lynching black people. That's the Democrat Party. The party that, you know, the party of slavery and the Confederacy and the Klan and Jim Crow. Thanks, Democrat Party. Their actual history. Also, we have the Omicron variant. Oh, we've got this fun stuff, too. You know, these emails that the House of Representatives Republicans released, Anthony Fauci emails, and what we learned about perhaps, well, what they were thinking and what they were saying about the origins of the Wuhan Red Death and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. What they said in their emails doesn't match what they were saying in public. That's coming up. The filibuster, Mansion and Sinema saving the day once again. Who could have predicted that? Crime-loving DAs being indicted. Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore. She's been a bad egg all along, and now she's been busted for all kinds of illegal activity and buying houses in Florida where, you know, you're not even supposed to visit, much less buy multiple houses. The Oath Keepers, one of the founders, Stuart Rhodes, arrested and charged with conspiracy. This has got politics all over it. The timing is very, very criminally suspicious. And we'll get into that. Sirhan, I've got an update on Sirhan. Bad news for him, because the governor in California and the Democrats, I think, missing out on one more vote. We are at 888-630-9625.
I got a lot of, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
Hey Jim, thanks for coming.
Are you kidding? I never miss one of your dinner parties. How's the new job?
We're growing fast. And I stopped working weekends, thanks to how much smoother everything runs on NetSuite by Oracle.
Fantastic. We're still using QuickBooks.
Why haven't you upgraded to NetSuite?
Oh, we're making QuickBooks work, sort of.
Shh, watch your language. The kids are right there. Sorry, Amy. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow, all in one place. And 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since upgrading from QuickBooks to NetSuite.
Yeah, sounds like it's time for me to switch to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/current. Head to netsuite.com/current for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/current.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
Why does Walgreens offer copays as low as $0 and 90-day refills? Because we care about Medicare, so you don't have to. I mean, do you really care to hear me go on about prescription delivery options making your life easier? Or how there's a pharmacy expert available 24/7 and one-click refills? Well, I just did anyways. Fill your Medicare prescriptions with Walgreens and save.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Restrictions apply. See Walgreens.com/Medicare for complete details.
Do you have taxiety? That uncertain feeling before doing your taxes? Filing on your own or choosing the wrong partner can be stressful. Connect with Liberty Tax and then just breathe in and cash out.
Pay no out-of-pocket expenses.
Sounds like a mantra.
Visit StopTaxiety.com to schedule your appointment and say farewell to the stress of tax season. Liberty Tax. Let's end taxiety. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
Did you know that doctors use Mucinex? That's right. Mucinex is the number one OTC brand doctors trust for themselves and their families. When you have cough and chest congestion, you need a medicine that's effective and long-lasting. So with cold and flu season upon us, why would you use anything else? Mucinex 12-hour DM extended-release bilayer tablets allow for immediate and extended release, relieving cough and chest congestion for 12 hours. Grab Mucinex and put yourself back in control. Use as directed.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
We got Hunter Biden news today. We got Alec Baldwin news today. What's the difference, really? Great audio sound bites for you on a range of topics. Great stuff. Not the least of which, of course, is Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, who keeps rearing her vicious head. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Victor calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Victor, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Victor.
So Hillary wants to run again. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. She reminds me of my former wife. What a pick the Democrats are going to have. Every man out there who's been through a divorce is going to say, oh, I can't stand her. No way. The way she yells and screams. Oh, my wife used to scream at me, are you listening to WMAL again?
Well, I tell you, you know, you're probably not alone in that. I think Hillary probably reminds millions of men of their ex-wives. You know, she's kind of, if you're, you know, she's a battle axe. If you were doing a television show, we should bring that back. That should be her Secret Service code name, battle axe. You know, because
that's for sure. And I mean, the Democrats, I mean, all their women are screaming like that.
Well, I, you know, the ones that don't scream don't get the media attention. You know, we live in a media environment where the louder and more shrill you are, of course, the more the media likes you.
And I also think we'd be a lot better off if we actually talked to each other instead of yelling at each other.
Yeah, the lecture voice.
There it is. Well, let me tell you something, Victor. I was communicating with a friend of mine yesterday, a very well-connected friend, lives in Florida, who informs me reliably that there are motions underway to create a presidential exploratory committee for Hillary Clinton, which probably won't go very well on a number of levels. But honestly, if this is the best the Democrats have, and, you know, we were playing a longtime Democrat Party pollster and operative and Clintonista, Doug Schoen. We were playing him yesterday. He sounded like this.
In the land of the blind, you need the one-eyed man, and she is clearly better than anything the Democrats have. Biden is a failed president, as you've said. Kamala Harris, arguably worse.
That's where they are, Victor. And, you know, if they're looking to Hillary, she's like break glass in case of emergency. And the glass breaking will be the most pleasant acoustic.
Let the other side do the yelling.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
You know, my best girl and I went to an event night before last on Capitol Hill. Night before last? On Capitol Hill. With our friend Sebastian Gorka. Standing up a new project, Freedom Square and freedomsquare.com. I don't know if you've seen Freedom Square, been to Freedom Square. But as the name might suggest, freedom, liberty, America, you know, truth, justice, and the American way. Freedom Square is great. Freedom lives here is their motto. And a great gathering on Capitol Hill at this event with General Jerry Boykin was there, the famous legendary Special Operations Delta Force General. Several members of Congress, really, Jim Jordan was there, and a number of members of Congress, very nice woman that we met from New York. And it's a great website. Take a look at Freedom Square, freedomsquare.com. And it is, you know, there's original content and they aggregate, and it's all good stuff that you're going to like. It's a news source. Remember when the Drudge Report used to be a legitimate news source for people that liked America, and then they lost their minds and went crazy, and Drudge Report is no longer the Drudge Report as it was originally envisioned in its original incarnation. And Freedom Square is something you should take a look at. It's great stuff, great people associated with it, a wonderful event. And you can go there and find articles on topic, by subject area. And it's a good take a look at it. And tell me if you don't like it, tell me if you like it, because there are really good people behind it. And they're straight up and smart people who are not frothy ideologues and partisans, but want truth and freedom. Remember truth, justice, and the American way, and liberty and justice for all, these familiar phrases. You know, we're in a very strange place as a nation in the United States of America right now, a terrible place in a lot of ways. And Freedom Square is looking to, you know, just tell the truth. And here's this side and here's that side. Remember this. Remember, like, look at both sides of things and then you decide who's right and who's wrong. It's I think, a very smart effort, Freedom Square. So please take a look at it and let me know what you think when you get there. Now, back to today's craziness, because there's a lot of it. And Ryan Grimm, you know who Ryan Grimm is? He's a long time, you know, basically Washington reporter. And he was doing an interview. I'm going to share some audio with him about what was learned by way of emails that were released by Republicans on Capitol Hill of Anthony Fauci regarding a specific issue, and that is the origin of the Wuhan Red Death of the COVID-19. And it's an interesting back and forth that that was had with Ryan Grimm. And I want to share a couple of the, some of it is a bit techno, having to do with biological warfare and gain of function research. But, you know, this is the world we live in. You know, it's, every news story comes with a completely new lexicon. And generally you have to, get a degree in every new story that comes along. But this is a guy who has worked for, the Huffington Post, lefty left. For the Intercept, which, it used to be more sane than it is. The Young Turks, very lefty, very left. And he's written for Rolling Stone and the Washington Post and Politico. So he's kind of a typical Washington left-wing journalist, right? But every now and then, the blind squirrel and all that, we got, Hillary Clinton is the one-eyed man who is king in the land of the blind. And every now and then the blind squirrel gets the nut too. So Ryan Grimm was doing an interview on this subject of Anthony Fauci's emails and what was gleaned from these emails, what has been gleaned from these emails. And the Real Clear Politics has the headline, "The new Fauci emails are even more damning than you think." Even more damning than you think. And Ryan Grimm, now working for The Hill, a Washington, D.C. newspaper that tries to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that, which, you know, is fine as what newspapers, I guess, are supposed to be. But when every reporter is, feels free to wear their opinions on their forehead, it gets a little different. But they have an online thing they call Rising with Ryan Grimm. Breaks down the contents of the National Institutes of Health emails released by the House Oversight Committee. The Republicans on the House Oversight Committee and not the Democrats, because they're not in favor of transparency. Remember that word? That was a word that's, it's occasionally popular here and there. But these emails that were released by the Republicans, being completely ignored by the media, Ryan Grimm, Washington Post, Politico, Huffington Post. I think we have two sound bites of Ryan Grimm explaining what was found. And here's the bottom line. There were emails last year, I'm telling you, that Anthony Fauci and other big-time federal government health officials, Dr. Collins and so on, back and forth about the origins of the Wuhan Red Death and whether it came from the laboratory, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And there was broad agreement among a number of the scientists that weighed in that there was really no way for this virus to create itself in nature, and that there had to be modifications made to these germs, and that would suggest the Wuhan Institute of Virology and as the origin of the virus. Now, Dr. Rand Paul was talking about this. I played some audio day before yesterday. Dr. Rand Paul saying, 90-1, it's nine chances out of 10 that it did come from the Wuhan Institute of Virology based on the available evidence. And by the way, that's always been the available evidence. I've been tracking this fairly closely over the course of the last couple of years. And there's been every reason to believe that it came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and essentially no reason to believe that it came from the Wuhan wet market, the Wuhan fish market, where the left is trying to slough off the origin of the virus on poor people in China running a sloppy and unsanitary market, which I'm sure is true. They don't get the best Yelp reviews at the Wuhan wet market. But here is left-wing journalist Ryan Grimm talking about on the Hill's online broadcast, talking about it goes on for about 20 minutes, but a couple of key sound bites from Ryan Grimm. Here is journalist Ryan Grimm on the origins of the Wuhan Red Death.
On February 1st, Anthony Fauci, Collins, and at least 11 other scientists joined a conference call. It's February 11th, 2020. On that call, Fauci and Collins were told the virus might have leaked from the Wuhan lab and might have been genetically engineered. So some context, the day before, Fauci had been warned that it may have been a lab leak, as USA Today reported. Now, the day after the call, Dr. Jeremy Farrar sent around notes, including to Fauci and Collins, summarizing what some of the scientists had said on the call, and that's what's new in this.
And that's what's new in this. And what did the scientists on the call say, Ryan Grimm? He's talking, of course, about Dr. Francis Collins, who was director of the National Institutes of Health and, you know, an Obama guy. And these guys, it turns out that they were being told all over the place, oh, yeah, look at the Wuhan Institute of Virology as the source of this virus. And that's what the emails were saying in February of last year. February 1st of last year of 2020. Well, actually, that's more than last year, isn't it? That's of 2020, because that's at the beginning. It's almost 2 years ago, the beginning of the virus. And they're being told, well, yeah, you know, take a look at it. It looks engineered, and the emails are going back and forth. And then after they were being told this, and the scientists got one more soundbite here, the scientists being told in all kinds of scientific ease that this couldn't happen in nature. You had to add 11 parts of this and 2 parts of that in order to get this thing that could communicate from animal to humans and from human to human in the way that it does. And in all of their science speak, they laid it out. And then the emails reveal that Fauci and Collins got busy spinning it. And Dr. Deborah Birx as well got busy spinning it and tamping down the notion that it came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which received U.S. taxpayer dollars by way of Anthony Fauci and an intermediary. And that's something that he played word games with. And did he deny it? Well, you know, I mean, again, you need a team of lawyers to go through the statements made by him. But here is Ryan Grimm explaining a portion of, follow along if you can, but the ending makes it worth it. And what the doctors are telling Fauci, the experts are telling Fauci and Dr. Collins of the National Institutes of Health. Here it is.
And there's this from Dr. Bob Gary. Before I left the office for the ball, I aligned nCoV with the 96% bat COV sequenced at Wuhan. Except for the RBD, the S proteins are essentially identical at the amino acid level, while all but the perfect insertion of 12 nucleotides that adds the furin site. S2 is over its whole length essentially identical. I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it to nCoV, insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotide, that all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. That, and you don't change any other amino acid in S2? I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. Due to the alignment of the spikes at the amino acid level, it's stunning. Of course, in the lab, it would be easy to generate the perfect 12-base insert that you wanted.
See, now, I can't imagine how this happens in nature. Of course, in the lab, it would be easy to see how this happens because you have to add 11 of these and 2 of these, and you have to do it all at the same time. And how could that happen in nature? It couldn't happen in nature. So these people are concluding, and they're giving weighted scientific responses, 50-50, 70-30, 80-20. The various doctors are giving their opinions on this, but you heard that informed opinion that I can't figure out how this would happen in nature, but in the laboratory it'd be easy to see this happening. It'd be easy to make this happen. Now, that's fascinating, right? Because certain people, including Fauci and others, have been poo-pooing and downplaying and calling it a conspiracy theory. And there have been so many things over the last couple of years that have been conspiracy theories until they're not. You know what I'm talking about? Everything is, you're calling people all kinds of names and everything's a wild-eyed conspiracy theory until you learn that it's actually true. You know, there are questions about the vaccine and fertility in women, and we're learning more about that. And guess what? There's more to be concerned about than they were saying. The heart issues in children, which was a conspiracy theory until it wasn't. everything, hydroxychloroquine because President Trump used the word, ivermectin because President Trump used the word. Oh, no, you can't use that. Oh, no, that's horse medicine. Yeah, okay, it's, you know, the people that came up with it won the Nobel Prize for Medicine, and it's people medicine. You know, horses take antibiotics, too. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't take antibiotics. See how this works? Pretty amazing stuff. These people, so then the emails reveal, that honestly, Birx and Dr. Deborah Birx and Dr. Andy Fauci and Dr. Francis Collins in the emails then started spinning it and engaging in a media strategy, you see. They rolled out a media strategy. Now, it's not their job to roll out media strategies, but they were rolling out media strategies that would tamp down any suggestion that the virus originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, under the control of the Chinese Communist Party, and where they're working on biological warfare agents, not for defensive purposes so much, because they don't have to worry about that, but but never minding all that. So they why were they rolling out a media strategy? Why do the emails show that they were being told by all of the experts that the greatest likelihood was that it came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and then they told the American public something else, something completely different. Know what I'm saying? There is a fun, you know, the Democrats I've been talking about the last couple of days, the Washington Post and the Atlantic and others, and Gayle King and others in the left-wing media now coming around to what has been the conservative point of view on many of these matters for quite some time, and that is that we're going to have to get on with our lives and live our lives, and we shouldn't lock ourselves in a vaudeville trunk and quake like little girls in a tornado. We should get on with our lives and live our lives, and we should pay attention to the science and be well informed. And if you fall into certain categories, you know, all these numbers coming out about 75% of the fatalities from COVID have been in people that have four or more comorbidities. Now, a year ago it was two or more comorbidities. Now it's four or more comorbidities. And the numbers for hospitalizations, not what they said they were, because they're counting people that come in from a car accident and then test positive because they're checking into the hospital. And those are scored as COVID hospitalizations. I've told you about the story out of Denver where they counted five people over one weekend dying from COVID-19. Two of them were actually shot to death, but on the slab in the coroner's office, the post-mortem, they tested positive for COVID, and they counted them as COVID deaths. Now, that's kind of fishy, you know. Clifton Duncan has a Twitter account, and he wrote mockingly in quotation marks, "The science changes." And then he wrote, "Yes, it keeps changing into things that people said months ago and got banned for." Now, that's pretty good thinking by Clifton Duncan there. Good stuff. Yes, the science keeps changing into things that people said months ago and got banned for, you know, by Twitter and Facebook and CNN and the Biden administration. We're at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Did you know that doctors use Mucinex? That's right. Mucinex is the number one OTC brand doctors trust for themselves and their families. When you have cough and chest congestion, you need a medicine that's effective and long-lasting. So with cold and flu season upon us, why would you use anything else? Mucinex 12-hour DM extended release bilayer tablets allow for immediate and extended release, relieving cough and chest congestion for 12 hours. Grab Mucinex and put yourself back in control. Use as directed.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Volkswagen and Audi owners or lessees may be eligible to receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Well, I just got a text from my friend Sebastian Gorka, who I was just talking about, in Freedom Square, a new operation you should check out on Al Gore's amazing internet. Pro-American, pro-information, pro-truth, Freedom Square. But I was just talking about this tweet by Clifton Duncan, Drapetomaniac, and in quotation marks, the science changes. And then he wrote, you know, somewhat tongue-in-cheek and also truthfully, yes, it keeps changing into things people said months ago and got banned for, all right? That's what he tweeted. And now, if you go to his Twitter account, you'll see that Clifton Duncan has had his account suspended.
Suspend the sentence.
Suspend the sentence.
suspended a sentence, Clifton Duncan. Now, what could he have said that would have infuriated the left-wing fascist hawks at Twitter, who are, you know, being told by the White House to make sure that no disinformation gets out there? When they say disinformation, what they mean is anything that might not be entirely favorable for the party. Because this is, you know, people like to use the term corporate fascism. Fascism has always been corporate, you know. The Krupp family, the Steele family in Germany, worked with Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers Party, and Daimler-Benz, and the others worked with the Socialist Workers Party of Adolf Hitler, and they allowed him to keep operating. Now, the today, the Democrat Party doesn't need steel and locomotives and airplanes. They need to control the flow of information. And when the president the other day, in this 21st century form of fascism, you know, fascism has always been corporate, and now the Democrat Party has an arrangement with the oligarchs, the centibillionaires that run Twitter and Facebook and Google, and on, YouTube, all of that stuff. And if you don't sing from the party sheet music, then you get banned. Now, what could Clifton Duncan have said that got him banned by, well, suspended a sentence here? Twitter suspends accounts which violate the Twitter rules, it says on Clifton Duncan's Twitter account. Now, this is not funny. This is not a laughing matter. These people are fascists, all right? The people at, and the new guy that took off, it's you know, that took over at Twitter from Jack Dorsey, Rasputin. He's, you know, the Who song "Meet the New Boss," sang same as the old boss, only worse. The guy's a fascist, and they don't believe in free speech. They don't believe in American values. They don't believe in Western values. They don't believe in the values of the Enlightenment. They don't subscribe to most of the Magna Carta. The Renaissance was not really their cup of tea. These guys are not on the side of Western civilization or liberty.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.